The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and the team is back from the bye, working hard, getting ready for the Colts coming up Sunday night. It's exciting times around here at Gillette because the Patriots are holding the number one bye, if the number one seed, if the season ended today. So things are good. But this is a big game coming up because the Colts are a team that, if the Patriots do get that number one seed, it'll be because they beat the Colts. The Colts right now are sitting with I forget their record, but I think they only have 2 losses. 3 losses, Kevin says, but obviously if Patriots lose this game, then they will have 3 losses as well, and they will not have the head-to-head matchup on their side. So this is a big, big game.
6-3, Freddie.
6-3 are the Colts. So big game. Andrew Luck, leading offense in the NFL. You know, they just score points, and, you know, they don't do it in really a flashy way. I would say, you know, it seems like every week the Broncos are, you know, racking up more points and yards and everything. But then you look at the stats, and the Colts have the most passing yards in the NFL. It's just, it's a workmanlike thing for Luck. Just week after week, no matter what the team, he just seems to be able to get his production. But, you know, the question is, can the Colts stop the Patriots? So this is really exciting game in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Field. Patriots are here after the bye getting ready for it. Paul and Andy's here. And guys, did you enjoy watching football without having to worry about the Patriots this weekend?
You
guys didn't watch any football?
No, I watched a lot on Sunday. I didn't watch anything last night, but I watched, I told you, I got wrapped up in the 1 o'clock window on Sunday.
Yeah.
Watched
a lot of Red Zone.
I watched a lot of Red Zone. That's a great channel, I have to say. It's a great channel. You feel like you can watch every game at once.
Yeah, I mean, I was focusing on the Bills in Kansas City, but whenever there was a break or, you know, got a little boring, I'd switch right over to the Red Zone.
Boy, the Bills are just unbelievable, huh?
Boy, they gave that game away.
I mean, they should have won that game by 3 scores.
Yeah.
And they end up losing the game outright. I mean, Bryce Brown fumbles on the 1-yard line going in. You know, then they have the next possession, they have a 2nd and 2 from the 3-yard line and inexplicably throw the ball twice and kick a field goal. And then at the end of the game, you know, you're 1st and 10 from the 25 with a chance to take the lead and they can't get another yard.
Right.
Oh, I saw that.
Would you have kicked a field goal there?
I would not have.
I would not have either.
No. But, you know, Kansas City.
But I wouldn't have gone to the end zone like they did. I would have tried to gotten the first down.
Kansas City certainly didn't look like the same team that the Patriots played earlier in the season. And it's crazy. I mean, this this season, teams that you think are hot, Pittsburgh gets hot, and then...
You know who looked the same as they did against the Patriots?
Who's that?
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, teams get hot, and then all of a sudden they look terrible. Team, well, you've just mentioned the Bears. I mean, their season's over, right? I mean, that's ridiculous.
I would go beyond season as being over. Yeah. I think regime and their
jobs
questions.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you have legitimate questions about your quarterback and your head coach. And we've beaten that horse dead over the years. If you don't have those, nothing else matters.
You know, and then you look last night and the Panthers, you know, were a very competitive team. And now...
Last year.
But now they're just... I don't know what happened. They're just a shell of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton's beaten up.
They tried the old wide receiver redo.
Yeah.
And that...
And they don't have Tom Brady.
And the other part of that is not only they don't have Tom Brady, but they have a very banged up quarterback who started the season banged up, and it's shown.
But even if he's not banged up, to ask him to do that,
they might have had one more win if he was healthy. That's not the difference in that team.
I know, maybe it's just me and, you know, these night games or whatever, but it just seems like there's a lot of games that get out of hand real fast this season.
Oh yeah, there are.
You know?
Well, the Sunday night games have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
How bad they've all been and how quick, and you're right. Quick.
Yeah.
It's 28-0.
But that's because there's so many teams that aren't that good, and when it snowballs bad, it can snowball quickly. A few plays really alter games. And
I guess
you
so.
See that, a return for a touchdown, another, and all of a sudden it's like, what's going on?
I lumped the Patriots in there. Even their game just got out of hand real fast.
They had two night games that happened to, one for and one against. The Cincinnati game was very quick in their favor, and the Kansas City game was the opposite. That got out of hand in a hurry the other way. It was, 17-0 early on.
But that night, they weren't a good team.
They played
like a really bad team. My favorite highlight of the weekend, by the way, did you see, and it just came to mind because Nick Mangold apparently has his own Pepsi commercial, but at the end of that game when they were taking a knee, and it wasn't Paul Amalo, it was the other safety, tried to dive over, and he did, what do they call it, a suplex? He made the guy pay for it because he flipped the guy over, and the guy landed right on his
lower back.
Rex Ryan
said he thought that was Bush League.
I thought it was Bush League,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is a little bit Bush League. Yeah.
It was quite Bush League, actually, but I think he made the guy pay for it. A guy tried to dive over the top, but he caught him and threw him, so the guy did a complete flip and came down very hard on his
Schiano.
Lower back.
Yeah.
Schiano did it.
Schiano said...
Right, it's douchey.
Yeah.
It's douchey.
Yeah. So...
Now, I don't think this was a coach. I think this was a player.
Yeah, he just decided, I'm
just going to... Yeah, because it's not like everybody did it. It's just him. He pulled a Brewski and said, I'm going to dive over.
Right. So, but just a lot of weirdness going on in the league.
Had another one.
You know,
Andy's
it was
list.
Funny. That, you know, the Broncos started off with the Raiders, and all of a sudden, you know, Oakland Raiders. You know, you thought maybe they'd give it a game, but...
You were prophetic, people thought.
Then you turn around, and it's 41 points, like nothing.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's the other thing, is some of these numbers, just week to week, whichever number you're looking at, 6 touchdowns, 400 yards.
Straight weeks, a guy is thrown for 6 touchdown passes. Yep. 3 straight weeks. I mean, it's just bad.
I was actually looking at the league stats, and one of the things they do early in it is the list of every 300-yard passer and 100-yard receiver. I'm not sure that that's valuable anymore. I think they might want to change that to 400 or 350.
400 and 150, yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't. The list is so long, it devalues the list.
Yep. So, I don't know what to make of it, but it just would seem that this is, not as tough maybe a season or a schedule for the Patriots as we might have thought. You know,
I think it's pretty tough. I don't think this. I mean,
and you should be careful with that because, as you've mentioned, all these teams that have fallen off from being great in 2 weeks. If you're saying,
if you look at the Patriots' schedule ahead, all those teams are playing competitively,
You know, it's all relative.
Yeah,
you know, it's the best teams of what you have. Maybe they're not great in terms of what you might consider a great team. What a great team should look like, but. Green Bay's a pretty good football team.
Oh, yeah.
And Denver's a pretty good football team that you beat handily 2 weeks ago.
Colts.
And the Colts are a pretty good football team. So I don't think...
But you wouldn't match any of them up against past teams. Probably.
No, I wouldn't say that they could beat the 04 Patriots or anything like that, or the 07 Patriots even, but...
I would even say last year's Seattle team was a wagon.
No, I agree.
Mike
they
Felger
were playing. They
say.
Were playing better.
Fred, what did you want for lunch again?
The other Seattle game was...
I don't think you sent it in email.
I didn't?
No.
Wow.
Oh, sorry about that.
This is good
just
stuff.
Give me a small cheese.
In the oven.
But I do think that sometimes, you know, your whole theory, Freddie, about how sometimes you look at the schedule later, well, it wasn't quite as daunting a trip through. I still think this five-game stretch from Denver to San Diego is pretty tough.
Yeah, that's
and I
true.
Think it looks just as tough as it did a month ago. Now, we knew they weren't all these teams weren't going to just win every game. Green Bay lost to New Orleans.
Well, the San Indy Diego lost to one Pittsburgh. Has declined.
San Diego has tailed off. They've lost three in a row.
The Fred Kirsch.
They didn't have one, you know, because I think Indy still won something like 5 out of 6 or something like that. They lost one game.
And gave up 50.
Yeah, well, but they bounced right back and won the next game. You know, the Patriots gave up 41 and bounced right back and put 43
on Cincinnati. San Diego is now about a spot more than it is about a team.
Yeah.
Previously, it was about a team. That might be a really good team.
It's about a team.
Now it's about
teams
a back-to-back on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. But I still think I still think Green Bay is just as tough as it was a month ago, and I think Indy's just as tough. And I don't discount the Denver win because they won it so handily. I think that was just as tough a game as you thought it was going to be going into the game. I agree with Andy about San Diego. They don't quite look as daunting as they once did. But on the flip side, I think probably Detroit's a little bit better than you thought they were. You kind of had Detroit in there because of Calvin Johnson
and
Matthew Stafford can get hot. Well, they're 7-2. At some point, you got to take them seriously.
And they have the best defense in football.
Yeah, at some point, you got to take them seriously. Maybe they're a little bit better. I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots.
Maybe I should go back on that and I should say the Patriots have one of the last remaining schedules that is tough.
Oh, check out Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona's not making the playoffs.
No.
Yeah.
Bold prediction. Arizona
their
not
problem
making the playoffs.
Is they still have, what, 2 against Seattle? One against San Francisco.
Detroit this week.
That's their problem.
They have a tough.
Be like if the Patriots played in a good division, then it would look different. But they don't, so it doesn't.
Well, I don't know. Hey, Miami's playing competitively.
Oh, jeez.
5-4.
Oh, jeez.
Buffalo. It's going to be home, but 5-4. You know, both Miami and Buffalo are going to be here.
Now you're worried about the Jets.
I'm always worried about the Jets. They play you tough.
I was worried about the Jets the whole time. I think you could lose in New York.
See, I'm not worried about that game at all.
I'm not worried about Miami or Buffalo
well,
in the
least. The other two, I think, to your point, I know the numbers. It's just like the Patriots defense. The Patriots defense, the numbers don't tell you that they're any better than last year. Matter of fact, they're behind last year's numbers in a lot of categories. My eye tells me that the Patriots defense is a little bit better than it's been in the last few years. Well, my eye tells me that Miami and Buffalo are a little bit better than they have been, even though the numbers don't support it. They're 5-4 middling crap teams that found ways to lose games just like they always do. But they look like better teams to me than they have been in the recent past. Yeah.
But the Jets, last week, I'm with you. By the time we play them, it could be over. But if they build on this win that they had last week and start putting something
together.
That
could happen. They could win a few games, but they're not beating the Patriots.
Well, yeah, I don't think so either, but it's going to be tough. Don't you think? They just play the Patriots tough.
Well, but the second time, a lot of times, they don't.
Yeah, once a year, and they did that.
That is the one flaw in the history in the Rex Ryan Jets, is there's been some blowouts in that second meeting. The first one is the tight one.
Yep.
The second one is the blowout.
Yep.
So they're certain, and they're still going to have issues at cornerback, and if your offense and your passing game is playing like it did.
But if Vic is playing better.
Both were tight last year.
No, I'm just talking in generalities.
No, I'm just, because I was sort of subscribing to that theory, but you know the most recent sample size, there were two tough games last year.
And it all depends on your Patriots. Are your Patriots the last 5 weeks, or are they something between the first four and the last five, or are they something closer to the first four?
Or even
if they're closer to the first four, then all of these games are far more difficult.
Yeah, even within
now, I don't think they are, because the guy we just saw walking out to practice looks pretty good.
But of the last
8-7.
But of the last 5 weeks, you know, including among those 5 weeks was Buffalo and the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're more like that, then you probably will have competitive games. If you're more like you were against Chicago and Denver, you're going to blow doors off.
Yeah, right? But 8-7's picking up momentum.
Yeah, I
but see,
I get it.
Now the Chicago game, you can't even look at that. It's like they're just so bad that, you know, the Denver game, certainly, that was every bit of a good win as we were hoping it would be. So,
absolutely.
But what do you make of the Eagles? Nick Foles goes down, Sanchez comes in, and
as you predicted, Freddie.
I think they were making a little bit more out of him last night than he wasn't playing that great.
Well, I saw he threw.
Didn't he have a pick that was just missed on the sideline that the guy stepped out of bounds?
Yeah, and he short-armed the ball.
Because everybody was making a big deal. It's his first 300-yard, 2-touchdown, no-pick game in 67 starts.
Right.
And I was listening in the car, but You yelled interception and then said, oh, his foot landed on the – he tried to throw a pick.
You know, and then he had
I didn't see any of the game, so I really
And then he had another play that they originally scored a touchdown, but on review the guy had his – the tight end had his knee down at the one.
And, he got great catches, too.
And, yeah, it was down the seam. And Gruden was saying, oh, unbelievable pass. No, it wasn't. It was too short. If he had thrown it high, the tight end would have had a much easier time.
You're dead on. And guess what?
Yeah.
A lot of quarterbacks can play when you get a punt return for a touchdown, an interception return for a touchdown, and beat the hell out of the opposing quarterback. If you do those three things, Paul could start. And you have a chance.
Well, that was just in looking at the box score. I saw he had thrown for 300 yards. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And then I looked at the scoring. I was like, wow. Early interception return or early punt return and then an interception return. I'm like, wow. Yeah.
And Fred's
makes
right.
life a lot easier.
There were plays that were, you know, a hair away from being bad plays.
Right. Now, he had some drops, but, you know, what I thought was interesting before the game, Gruden had his little QB thing, and he said that Chip Kelly makes it easy for quarterbacks. And he had examples of, you know, third and eight, and they'd have a four-yard pass, and then the receiver makes up the rest of the yards. You know, they get the ball to guys in space somehow. And he makes up the yards, and it's more yards after catch rather than the quarterback having to, you know, be so precise and hit the sticks every time. I thought that was interesting. I'm not sure if it was just happenstance and he, you know, he found some of those examples or if it's by design. It seems to me a little bit precarious to always depend on the guy breaking a tackle to get the first down.
Well, but depends who it is.
Yeah, but he was saying that
LeSean McCoy.
In the Eagles system, they make it easy for the quarterback.
Well, I think Paul and I were talking about this upstairs. I think one of the things that makes it easy for the quarterback and makes it a different type of football is it sort of takes the coaching out of it. Once you're on the field, we're going hurry up. We're going fast. They're not switching personnel. They don't have a lot of time to scheme things. It's coverage. You know, for most part, all 11 guys that are going to be on the field. So if you're Sanchez, it's more about running the play and making the throw than, oh, they had this and they brought this personnel in and this. You know, it's in front of you. It's playing football again. It's not all cerebral and game planning.
And this is one of the things that he did pretty well with the Jets is run the hurry up. In the two-minute drill, and most quarterbacks are better in the two-minute drill.
Yeah.
Because of a lot of the factors that Andy just mentioned. But I think Sanchez was actually pretty good at that, comparatively speaking. I mean, most of his mistakes came probably in situations where he was getting a coverage that he wasn't expecting
right.
and against personnel that he wasn't necessarily familiar with or expecting.
But if you play from ahead, and if your team is doing what I said, some of the things you're getting, punt returns, interception returns, dominant, you know, pass rush on defense, a lot of people can play quarterback and look good in this league.
One thing about Sanchez, he was at one point they were in the red zone and they had a false start, and Sanchez was like, oh, come on, you know, and I'm like, whoa. You should just be happy. Don't start pointing fingers at anybody.
Stop sucking so much. You know? He's an idiot. I just don't care for his whole thing.
Even
yesterday, why did he go get a cheesesteak? I saw that he was going to celebrate by having his first Philly cheesesteak.
I don't know.
Like, again, why do you have to be this TMZ showman thing? Just be the quarterback of the freaking Eagles. Win games and see where it takes you.
But now they're talking about, like, he could now become their starting quarterback. Not just this year. I mean, if, you know, when Foles gets better, he'll just keep
the job.
Well,
part of that is because Foles had sucked. He had fallen off dramatically from last year. Some of that was pressure. Some of that was you couldn't possibly, 27-2 last year, touchdowns, intercept. You're not going to maintain that. I don't care who you are.
And our boy Domowicz wrote in our paper 2 weeks ago before Foles got hurt that Philly was not sold on Foles long term.
Right.
So neither of them are franchise quarterbacks.
Sanchez isn't going to be the guy. I can almost guarantee that.
And I don't think Foles is, personally.
No, I don't think – I think they have serious questions about Foles, and I think that they will not more than likely stick with him either. But I don't think it's going to be Sanchez.
And it's this whole problem in the league of, you know, Andy Dalton, and you get forced into, he's my starter, so he's my quarterback, so I have to pay him like a quarter. You know what I mean? You almost get forced into, and I wonder if there'll be a team that just says what you said. We got the quarterback whisperer. As long as we have two quarterbacks every year competing, we'll be fine because he'll make one of them good enough.
And it was interesting watching Foles on the sideline because he just looks dazed. He's like, oh. You know, he wants to be happy because his team's running away with it, but he's kind of like has this glassy look in his eyes like I'm watching my job slip away.
For example, Matt Cassel
has
had some success in the league and some failure. He's a guy that if I'm Chip Kelly, I might say, I can bring him into camp, and he can be my next Mark Sanchez, a guy that has had some success that in my system.
Well, I'm still looking for my guy.
Right.
He can hold the, you know, keep
now,
the
it puts
warm.
Pressure on Chip Kelly more so than obviously Bill Belichick faces or John Fox or these guys. But we know he's not lacking for confidence in what he is. So I would not be looking to sign either of those guys to anything that ties me into anything.
Mm.
I wouldn't. I would not feel good about it.
The idea is to get the guys around them.
Right.
That's where you spend your money in that system.
Right.
You know? Like, Sproles is...
I got a mea culpa on it. I thought he was Kevin Falk declining skills and fading. Apparently, he's not fading anywhere.
No.
Apparently, he just needed a different offensive genius to get him back to his ways.
I guess.
Kind of fell on slow times in New Orleans, and now he's back, baby.
All right.
I got another one, too.
Oh.
Well, just emptying out the...
Okay. Yeah.
Fred doesn't want me to, which is good.
Go ahead.
No, I kind of forgot.
Emptying out the drawer.
I forgot.
For the weekend.
I had an important one.
Oh, wow.
Patriots
wasn't,
related?
Wasn't that well.
Bill Belichick had his press conference this morning.
A lot of Adam Vinatieri talk, Freddie.
Yeah.
You're not sparking anything. No. We should get into Sebastian Vollmer restructured his contract.
Yep.
Lesser playing time.
A lot of snarky
time.
Comments on the Twitter I saw after that was announced.
Like what?
This is a character.
You
study.
See what you want to see?
Yeah, because I saw the opposite. Oh, Patriots taking care of the guy. They did right by him. They did him a solid.
And what did you see, Fred?
A lot of, stuff about. I'm sure that the Patriots didn't do this out of goodwill and stuff like that.
I didn't see any of that, but it's kind of, well. I mean, I don't know all the details, but.
You sure you didn't see that? Because you follow the same people I follow.
I wasn't really on Twitter that much, but I did see a few people saying, I think Reese.
Reese was the one that said,
saying,
yeah.
That this eliminates that Marcus Cannon. You know,
right.
Why is he keep, well, they sort of eased that fear. If they want to keep letting Cannon play a little bit, he no longer has the urgency.
He was, by the way, above the 90% that
right.
he needed.
Right.
He so it's not like he was trailing it. Now, he got above it because the first time Marcus Cannon didn't play.
He played the whole game.
Because the other team had legit pass rushers.
Right.
Yeah. My guess is that that was to appease Vollmer. My guess is that Vollmer's camp probably said, what's the deal here? Why I'm healthy. Why am I not playing every down?
And it's $3 million. I mean, it's a decent amount of money.
It's not insignificant.
Yeah.
It's not insignificant.
Absolutely.
And he missed it last year, obviously, because he broke his leg. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. You didn't play. You know.
Yep. All right. Any? Is that it? No.
I got something. It'll come back later. It was something I needed.
Was it Adrian Peterson? Was it Ray Rice?
Nope.
No?
They're not
Was
really
it like a league issue?
By the way, I did have a random question. That is Aaron Hernandez, like, what is Aaron Hernandez right? Is he just a free agent?
Yeah. We released him.
No, I know we released him. The league did nothing.
Not that I'm aware of.
Shouldn't it seem like he should be on something? You know, you got these guys that are on these lists that are not in jail.
Well, you need to be told not to sign him?
No, I find it funny that he technically, like, if you put out
waivers,
right, if you technically put a like street free agent list out right now under tight end, would it list Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah, he hasn't retired.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny. I don't think anyone, you know, first of all, he's behind bars, so he can't play. But it's funny to me that he's not on a list other than, like, available players right now. And it struck me that in this whole talk of.
He's not really available.
Yeah.
No, I know. What about work release? Do they not do that for three-time murderers?
I don't think murderers.
Alleged.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't the ones picking up garbage on the side of the road, stabbing me with that thing.
Honestly, I don't
what
even.
What could go wrong?
I don't even think of him. I really don't.
I don't really either, other than that just randomly popped into my head, and I was thinking, because of all the Ray Rice and, you know, Peterson, they filed the appeal and expedited and this and that, and I'm thinking, he's technically a free agent right now.
All right.
Richie Incognito going to Denver.
Is he?
He's working out in Denver, and it's going well so far.
What do you think of the the union filing Peterson?
I think they have to do that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, that's their job.
Yeah, I do too.
You know,
it's sort of. I mean, Hernandez thing. Remember, they filed something for the money at one point, and they said we kind of have to do this just because.
Right. Yeah, now you get a guy like McDonald, who they said there wasn't enough evidence to file anything against him. You know, unless there's something out there like a video, the league can't do anything to him.
The league can do whatever they want.
Yeah, but they have to have some reason to do it.
Well, not just somebody's. He did get arrested.
No, I know, but based on somebody saying that he did it, but where's the evidence? You know, so anyone could say, you know, Andy, you know,
But that's for the court of law.
Right.
Andy is 100% right. The league can do whatever it deems
right.
Right. But much like they did to Ben Roethlisberger.
But you wouldn't.
Right.
Roethlisberger's the example.
Right, yeah, but wasn't there some evidence, like witnesses that said?
We all know he did something.
There were accusers.
He was accused of sexual assault.
He was not
formally charged for the same
reasons. I know, but
the DA didn't think they had sufficient evidence.
Yeah, but there was, like, people that said it happened, and what happened in that bathroom was.
Well, there's someone that says that this happened with Ray McDonald, too.
Right.
The person he hit.
It's the same thing. It's a woman against a man. It's a he said, she said.
I know, but, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not standing up for.
I know you're not turning it into that.
But the league can't start. Penalizing people for he said, she said.
Well, they have.
But they can because they have.
I think they realize they can.
Ben Roethlisberger got suspended for 6 games.
But wasn't there more evidence than just he said, she said? Wasn't
no.
there a there guy was... that stood outside the bathroom?
Exactly.
And
so he has no idea what went on in the bathroom.
Right.
Right. But
that's all true.
A he said, she said. That's all it is. And I think the league probably realized they can't be doing that every time and have learned, and maybe they held Roethlisberger because of it was multiple accusations.
Right,
that's the only difference.
It was a second time.
He was accused twice.
But still, it's just accused.
Everything is the same. It's a he said, she said with no, I think the DA, I think it was Georgia, right? That happened in insufficient evidence, and we're not going to pursue this to a trial. It was the same thing.
Right. I think it's a slippery slope if you start penalizing people just for hearsay.
And
or
I
not
agree.
Hearsay, but, you know, an accusation.
And I think they've realized that.
Yeah.
I think that's a part of the change. We can't keep doing that for accusations and hearsay because there's enough of these fires where we're going to get in trouble.
That's the proverbial slippery slope
that everybody talks about.
I think it's another
part of the change in Goodell and the whole discipline and the sheriff and all that.
But I would rather, when a guy gets arrested, I would rather have the guy suspended while waiting to find out what happens.
And then
if you have to end up giving a guy money back, you know, like in this situation,
put the money
with
in
Peterson,
escrow.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'm not as worried about the fines and whatnot as much as I am. Hit the guy where it hurts.
Yeah.
And that's where he's going to miss games, and that's going to hurt him.
Yeah. I like that, too. Just get him off the field.
Yeah. Now, I don't know the details of Ray McDonald any more than I know any of the details on the other ones. I mean, we saw the video of Ray Rice. That's the only reason why we know more about that one than Hardy or McDonald.
Right. See, to me, that's something that the league could act on. We see the video, okay? Whatever happens in court, we know what happened here. We see it. We're going to do our own action. You know, not wait. That I completely understand. I think they're in their rights to do that.
Paul's leaving.
Yeah, what do you got? All access? No.
It's ass kiss. Oh, that was it. It's all access. Scott Zolak's sit down with Tom Brady. Did you see what came out of that? An answer to our Brian Stork pooping his pants problem.
Oh, yeah?
It's a wetness issue. He said that Stork is, I forgot how he phrased it. He's a hairy guy and he sweats a lot, and I had to tell him, listen, my hands are down there a lot. I need you to take care of it and try to dry it. And there's no doubt in my mind that's what I witnessed. It was a bad snap. Brady kind of yelled at him. He did the penalty lap, and then he was wiping his ass, butt crack. And there's no doubt in my mind that's when Brady was yelling at him for, you got to keep it drier down there. Do whatever you need to do.
He's kidding.
A butt sweater.
I'm not kidding. Maybe he should wear Depends. No, and this is no joke, but that would solve it, right? Because it would absorb all the moisture. And you probably wouldn't notice it under the...
Can you bring it up to him in the locker room? You want to go?
Oh, sure.
Because, no, you know, he's been a very friendly, outgoing, talkative guy.
But I think that would be a good solution. And, you know...
You tell him. Welker does it, right?
Well, no, he's... But I think that would make sense. You know, rather than stuffing a towel down there or something like that, just take advantage of what's out there, the tools available. No one has to know.
What if he just wore an extra pair of shorts?
But even then, it soaks through. These are made to absorb wetness.
Yeah, but once you wet them, aren't you supposed to change them?
Yeah, but you don't have to.
If you pee yourself, I would assume you
sure,
take it off.
Sure, but until that time where you can, it holds it in there.
But wouldn't you get, you know when like little kids are walking around and it's like dragging on the ground because it's so wet and soggy?
Those, that's a load in their pants.
No, it happens with wet too. because that stuff is so absorbent.
No, I know,
it expands.
You've got the tight football pants.
But you can see through them sort of sometimes.
Yeah. Maybe he could put shorts over. Yeah, whatever. I think he's a big offensive lineman. No one would notice it. They're bulky anyway. So,
but it also might affect like there would be a.
Look, would you rather have him do that or have a drop fumble? I mean, a drop snap.
Well, you don't want, obviously, a drop snap.
Right, so we do what we have to do to avoid giving the ball to the other team.
And we haven't, have we had an issue with that since?
I don't know.
I mean, he's had the shotgun snap to the side.
Yeah, this seems to be more when he's under center, right?
Yeah, it's definitely under center, and it was definitely in the heat of the summer at camp, and it might have even, I want to say it was in shorts. They weren't in full pants.
Yeah.
So it was like mesh shorts and whatever, right. You know, jock strap.
Right.
So there wasn't as much maybe to keep the moisture up against.
Good.
Well, we've been joking that he might have pooped his pants. He didn't poop his pants. He just has a butt sweating problem.
Okay, well, we've cleared that up.
Right.
Okay.
I like when we are open. When we screw up, we tell you we screwed up. He didn't poop his pants. He has a sweating button.
He has a moisture problem down there.
Right.
So.
And who doesn't? Everybody gets swamp ass once in a while.
But I guess this is over the top, right? I mean,
it's over the bottom.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. Getting ready for the Colts here at Gillette
Plus,
Stadium.
I don't think the Depends would work all that well. Are they designed like kids' pull-ups? You know how you have to buy a boy or a girl because the pee is in a different spot? So those are designed for men, and he's not peeing. It's in the back. It's a butt problem.
No, I think it's the whole thing. It's for.
And he's not pooping, hopefully.
But no, but it's overall moisture.
I don't
absorbing.
Think the Depends would be the ideal.
I think it would. I think this is...
Maybe a sanitary napkin?
No, you can't have it moving around and all that stuff. It's got to stay in place.
This is the best discussion ever.
All right, let's get to the phones. First up is Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was curious, what do you think about Easley and Walker? And when all is said and done, do you think Walker could be the better guy? Because when I was reading their draft profiles, Walker had far less red flags and stuff like that. All I ever heard was just he was short and he needs to develop more moves as a pass rusher.
Well, that would be a serious flaw in everybody's scouting department if Walker turns out to be better than Dominic Easley.
Yes, it would be a major flaw.
And thing about Easley, when I watched his tape, it's not even so much the ACL tears that bother me. He just seemed weak. He seemed very weak. And
well, he's undersized. He's undersized, so when he gets locked up, he's going to be at a disadvantage. That is not his whole thing is penetrating and beating guys to gaps, beating guys off the ball, quickness, speed-based play. So when he gets locked up, you're going to see him look at a disadvantage, weak.
Yep. But now, I also see some, you know, linemen having some trouble with him and actually having to hold him. And he's getting better with every game.
And Walker, to me, is a run stuffer who would like to see himself as a pocket collapser, who would like to, at some point, be also considered a little bit of an option in the pass rush. But I find it hard to, you know, that Dominic Easley is going to be that bad, that all of a sudden Walker is seen as a better penetrator, pass rusher, or anything. It is worth discussing, though, because Silver Salinga, I believe, can return against the Lions, and I believe he could practice today. We'll get Eric's practice update later. I think he's in the window where he can begin practicing here if he's healthy, and you could potentially have a roster move. And I don't know if those defensive linemen will be a consideration. I personally think there would be a chance that Branch would be the first one out. He was the last one in, but I also... Somebody told me, one of the cameramen told me that on the practice field, the whole time they were out there, he took his knee brace off, he was putting his shoes on, he never ran, he never did anything, he needed a trainer to help him put his shoes on, he just looked...
This is Branch you're talking
about?
Yeah,
he looked like a overweight, underachiever guy, and so I wouldn't be stunned if he was the guy that was gone, but, you know, there's other guys, linebackers, depth there, or, you know, one of those special, Chris White type, a receiver, maybe... Something happens at the receiver position where it's been a healthy inactives. Yep. But there could be a roster consideration coming in the next week or so.
Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
You know, only show in the country where you can talk about the possibility of a center wearing Depends or not.
Well, listen, we cover it all, and so does Depends.
And you And you gotta, you know, you gotta think about it. You know, these are the things. When you have a sweaty, butted rookie center, you gotta see what you can do.
You must have been so happy that you finally got an answer to your question.
I did. And I didn't even have to ask an awkward question to get the answer. Because Brian Stork, not the kind of guy you want to joke around with and ask him if he pooped himself. From what I've seen so far, that wouldn't go over well.
Wouldn't go over well, yeah. Yeah, from what you guys say, definitely. Question about Indy's defense this week.
It stinks.
And I think two probably main reasons why it stinks is
ex-Patriots.
Sergio Brown and Darius Butler.
Yep. I'm attacking those bitches all day. Well, first of all, we know Sergio Brown. He's on the field in an area where Gronk makes his living. I'm sorry. Advantage Patriots, big time.
Yep.
And Darius Butler is a guy that Patriots fans always want to point to. Well, you know, he's had some success.
Right.
Every time, I'm just not impressed.
But this backs up my contention, made at the time and still, that, you know, there aren't a lot of good defensive backs in the league. It's hard to be really good at that job. That's the weakness on most teams, you know, when it comes to depth.
I think it's the hardest job in all of sports.
And so Darius Butler can go onto the Colts and play significant reps and still not be better than he was here.
Right. Oh, yeah. Because he was competitive here.
Yeah.
He just couldn't make plays, and
right.
They moved on, whatever. Yeah.
It's the reason why so many 400-yard passing games every week in the NFL.
Right, and he can succeed on a team where the quarterback's going to score 35 points a week.
Right.
Because it's okay that they're giving up 20-whatever a
true.
Week.
Yeah. I mean, look at a guy like Orlando Scandrick in Dallas, you know?
Yeah.
The guy that's been there for years, and every time I see him on TV, he's getting beat by someone.
Yep.
And he's still there.
Right.
You know? Because they always score in the 30s.
Listen,
the Cowboys.
I don't know how many passes are completed every week in the NFL. It's obviously hundreds and hundreds. So someone's getting beat on every one of those.
I'd say about 500.
Yeah. So it's hard. It's so hard to cover in the
especially
NFL.
Now, even more so with less touching, less grabbing, less anything you can do. But yeah, your point is dead on. Attack the middle of the field.
Yep.
You know, I was mentioning a week or two ago when we had the pompous one on ESPN, Trent Dilfer, talking about the bunch formations have given Butler trouble. When teams go in the bunch formation, they lose their responsibilities. And yes, Sergio Brown, I am on record, the worst defensive player I have ever seen play in the National Football League.
Definitely. They should absolutely destroy him.
All right.
And quick question about Cam Newton. You know, I don't know if you guys watched a good chunk of the game.
I did, unfortunately.
I did too.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that always blows me away, like, you know, not just because the announcers were saying it, but he shouldn't be on the field. He can't play. Like, he's too hurt. And how does a coach let a guy go out there? I mean, obviously, everybody's jobs and all, I understand that, and you have to win. But, you know, when you get Derek Anderson, obviously, he's your backup. But how do you let the kid go out there?
Right. And they said during the game, you know, the Eagles have no fear, absolutely none, that Cam Newton was going to run.
Yeah.
You know, and that's so much a part of that game for the Panthers.
He couldn't. I know. And that's a huge part of his game. And I'm just, it always blows me away. It does. That's coaching to me. You know, that's, you got to make a decision where you got to put a guy in there that can do something.
Yeah. Ron Rivera is another one whose stock is falling very fast.
Oh, God, yeah. He was coach of the year, right? Riverboat Ron?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be fired within the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time. All right.
All right, Christian. Eric's here, just out from practice.
Yes, and last time we spoke on this show about a practice report, I mentioned that Dominique Easley was getting some medical treatment on what looked like the right leg area, and he was not one of three Patriots on the field today. Chandler Jones was one.
Okay.
Easley was another. And another guy who I mentioned briefly in a practice report recently, Brandon LaFell. I don't know if you recall. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was in the last couple of weeks or so. I saw him at practice with a really heavy tape job on one ankle. I forget now which one it was, and not the other. And he was going through drills, and he played the next couple of games after that and had very productive games thereafter. But I don't want to speculate that that's why he's out there.
That could be something
else. Could be something completely non-injury related.
Right. And we won't know today.
And we won't know today because we won't get an injury report today.
Oh.
So we'll know tomorrow.
So we'll know tomorrow, maybe, if, you know.
Yep.
I wouldn't worry about today so much for a guy like LaFell.
It's an extra practice.
Was
day.
It right. a walkthrough today? Or
no, it was shells.
Shells.
But they were, you know, still it's an extra day of practice that they don't normally get.
Yeah.
So If he's not there tomorrow, I think you might have a little bit more of a reason for concern.
Heading into a shootout week where you may, you know, once again, you're looking at the potential to need to score 30-plus points to
win. And he's a guy who has started to finally be as productive as some people thought his high end
he's
could
like
be.
He's like the first down go-to guy.
Yeah, he is, he's the drive starter. He's the first down guy, but he's also either he's already matched, I believe, his career high in touchdowns and is going to obliterate, if he stays healthy, his other career highs, yards, receptions. He's fit in nicely. And you're after, I mean, that's basically in 7 weeks, you know, because he was a nothing. He was 0 for 6, I think. And then I don't even think he was targeted in week two. There was a very quiet start there.
Yeah.
And now he's been very productive. Question. Mm-hmm. Silver Salenga out there?
No.
Oh.
And nobody asked Bill today. I think this is the week he can start his clock
for his comeback. I actually
think
he might have been able to start last week during the bye. I'm not sure.
Oh.
But I believe he can play against the Lions and he can practice this week. And we were just talking about that.
Yeah, the Lions is the first game.
Right.
I believe he can come back, but can start practicing now.
I wonder if he's not healthy yet.
Maybe not.
Still in debut?
Maybe not. But no, he was not out there.
Under debut?
And the LaFell one was the little bit more of a surprise for me just because, you know, he's been playing and been very productive while he's played.
Easley's been – what was the last thing Easley was out with? Was it the knee?
Shoulder,
right?
Shoulder and knee.
And then I think the shoulder went away and the knee stayed. I think the knee is his knee.
It's going to be the Tom Brady right shoulder thing.
Well, yeah, when a guy comes in with a torn ACL and two torn ACLs in his history.
And it looked – you know, that could have been – what they were working on last week in practice when we saw
Plus, his knees are always banging into each other when he walks.
That doesn't help things either.
All right, let's go to Big Al in Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, Fred, that was a brilliant suggestion about the defense under Garmin.
I'm not kidding. I'm not being a wise guy. I think it would make sense if it truly is a problem.
You talking
They've
about
always
Stork?
Worked for me, and I can't
Did you hear that?
You always worked for him?
Yeah.
Now, do
why,
they?
Why they wouldn't work in the NFL? They work brilliantly for me.
When
so
you play flag football, your ball stays dry when you're snapping it.
It's just oodles of comfort.
What if he just gets that other stuff you had?
Listen, what a great 6 week period we are off to here. We're 2-0, and I love the fact that we got the bye week in between.
Wait, what?
What would arguably be the
Oh, I see what he's
saying. The two most important games of the 6 week stretch here, which is Denver at home and then at Indianapolis. Those are the two really must haves, as I see it.
Two first place teams,
Yeah, AFC games.
Between. I think that really helps. I think we're going to win this weekend at Indianapolis, even though they're coming off a bye as well. But I think we got the edge there.
Yeah, it would be good to get that one significant road win notch on your belt.
Well, that's been the thing this week. I heard Felger yesterday beating home. You know, this team hasn't won a good road game in since 2000, whatever, 10 or 9. And I think it's sort of circumstantial and some of that stuff. You know, everybody's saying, oh, they're 6-6 in their last. Well, I think it's hard to win on the road. When you go 8-0 at home a lot and then go 4-4 on the road, guess what? You're 12-4.
We don't have great divisional opponents where you can hang a scalp because you've won at the Jets or at the Dolphins or at the Bills. These have not been real threats in the division here that you can claim what a great road win. You got to go outside your division.
Right.
Get a significant road win. So, look. I think this is going to be a great win for us, and this is going to be one of these off-the-wall statements, forgive me, but I really believe this. I'm not just throwing this out there. If we won these two, we got the bye week. If we win at Indianapolis, then the following week we got Detroit. I think we're going to win that as well, but they've got a terrific front seven, and they're going to beat Brady up. I think we're going to beat him on the scoreboard, but he's going to take some hits no matter how together the line is, you know, these days. They're going to get after him, and he's going to take some hits. If we're 4-0 in this six-game stretch, and Brady's beat up and could use a breather, I would not at all be opposed to throwing Garoppolo in at Lambeau Field.
I know, but even going 4-0, you mean as a starter? You know, one loss could lose you that top seed, you know?
You know, you're right, but I've always believed this, and I have no reason to vary from this. Non-conference road games are the closest things to exhibition games that you play in the regular season. Certainly you want to beat everybody at home. But at Minnesota, at Green Bay, those are practically exhibition games. We've already won at Minnesota.
But I know, but then they if count. Denver wins that week and you lose, now Denver has the number one seed.
They count, and that is as big as anything. I think we all agree. Going to Denver or hosting Denver, if you meet them again, is a massive part of that equation.
Also, if you're playing a non-conference team that's actually a Super Bowl contender, don't you want to see how well you stack up against a potential Super Bowl opponent?
Plus, you play to win the game. Hello?
Hello? Well, yeah, but I mean,
what realistically are the odds you're going to see Green Bay again? Realistically.
In the Super Bowl?
It's pretty high right now.
You've got to make it all the
I just
way.
Don't think...
But I mean, Green Bay has just as good a chance as anybody in the NFC.
I mean, there's no wagon you can't beat in there.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, the Patriots rarely put Brady off the field at the end of the season. I can't believe in week 11.
They barely put him in when they're up by five touchdowns.
Yeah.
Well, I understand. I'm just throwing it out there. But I really think that, they could use another bye week for Brady at that,
And think about what that's saying.
You know, so competitive. You know he's going to play.
Oh yeah,
no matter what.
And think of what that's saying. Okay, yes, you're right. Lions do have a formidable pass rush. They can get pressure. So you take Brady out. You're basically telling your offensive line you can't protect the quarterback. I mean, you can't do that.
I'm saying if he's really beat up. I mean, that's not a knock.
If he's
line.
Unhealthy, if that's he's a un- different.
Yeah. But he won't be.
Yeah,
because he never is.
Yeah.
Unhealthy enough to know.
He gets rid of the ball. He'll have to get rid of the ball extra quick against Detroit. Definitely come after you. So we'll just see. But
starting quarterbacks play against them every week. You know, ours should too.
No, to me, I don't care what happens. If Brady plays or not, that's one way that, you know, that's academic, I guess. But if we lose at Green Bay, it's no big whoop to me. I'd much rather have the San Diego game, the following week than the Green Bay game because of the tiebreak.
All right. Thanks, Big Al. I hear what he's saying about Green Bay. Yes, it's the one you can most afford to lose. But losing is one thing, but I want to know how they lose. Because if they lose in bad fashion, that means a lot to me.
There's no chance that they rest Tom Brady.
No.
Oh, no, I'm not saying. I'm just talking about afford to lose. Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't think there are any games at this time of year that you can afford to lose unless you have like a five-game lead on the next closest
team. That's why the NFL season is so great. It's 16 games.
Because if the Broncos keep pace and you lose a game, like you said, in a week when they win again, they suddenly have the number one seed again. Right. You can't afford that.
You're going to Denver and you don't go to the Super Bowl all because you wanted to rest Tom Brady.
Right. Why? I wanted to bring up just a question that Al sparked in my head while he was talking there. Why do you think, I mean, given how in the NFL the margin between good teams or winning teams and losing teams is usually pretty small. The athletes are fairly similar. The margins are really small between making a catch or missing. What is it about playing on the road that is so difficult in this league? Like, why is it? I haven't really thought about and studied, like, why it's so hard for teams to go on the road and win a game.
Well, the obvious one is the crowd. The places that do have a legitimate effect on games.
But that's
not everything.
No, because it can't just be that, all right, it's loud. I mean, there are plenty of teams that go silent count and can operate an offense with a silent count. So how much does a crowd noise affect what a team does or how a team plays?
But I think
it's an interesting thing to study to figure out what
I think it's everything. I think it's what you said. The margin between winning and losing is pretty close, even though you end up in blowouts. I think.
But for the most part,
No, but even the blowouts, I think a couple plays swing it and then it just sort of snowballs. But when the margin is that close, if there is a 2% detriment to traveling, to not sleeping in your bed, to being on a plane, and a 2% detriment to home crowd, and you never know where the play clock is, as Bill likes to say, but it, you know, those 2%, if it was 55-45 to start with, and all of a sudden you've swung at 6, you know what I mean? That's enough. So I think it's little things that add up to be factors, and they're all different. You know, maybe the traveling bothers one team one week, the crowd bothers a different team, but it helps level the playing field for whatever the difference between the two teams may have been.
Yeah. I just think it's fascinating to it would be something to look into a little bit further. You'd have to ask players or coaches and figure out.
And you'll never really.
I remember back in
former coaches
in the Celtic heyday. I think I don't know if it was 84. They didn't lose one. Now, we're talking an 82-game schedule, 41 games at home. They didn't lose one home game that year.
But some of that can be mental. Mm. Like, we're not going to lose at home. And when you're good, you can decide sort of when you're all in and when you're not. And if there's 1% of, well, it's harder to win on the road. This is going to be a tough one. Whatever that mentality is another 1%.
Yeah, the confidence factor, like Bill was saying about the cornerbacks today, the number one corners, confidence being a major factor in how their careers take shape. I wonder if that's a factor too. Like, you know, the Celtics had the parquet floor, and you didn't win on the parquet floor back then. Teams coming in might have psychologically knowing,
and you don't
that
know
it's hard to do
what
that.
It is.
Yeah,
they didn't turn the heat on, or Hayden Fry had pink locker rooms, or you know, these are all tiny little things. Mm. But if three of the five matter, maybe that's enough for the home team to swing that advantage.
Yeah. It's kind of like in the Olympics where you know, like the speed skating or events where it comes down to timing.
Right.
And the difference between first and second place is less than half a second, but it seems like it's such a huge margin that the tiniest little thing you do wrong affects it.
One crossover.
I think it's kind of the same way in the NFL.
Right. You see these skiers, they go down the slope and they look identical, but one just went down a little bit faster than the other, and it's amazing. Hmm. Corey is in Wisconsin. Hey, Corey. Corey.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Corey?
So, my mother, she grew up here in Wisconsin. She's a diehard Packers fan, and I constantly have to listen to her talk about Aaron Rodgers' numbers, how much he's better than Tom Brady, because I'm a Patriots fan. So I want you guys' opinion. If we went into Lambeau on Sunday, do you think we'd beat them?
This Sunday? Or on the Sunday when we play them?
This Sunday.
I think we have a shot.
If we were to go in there.
It's only 2 weeks away.
Yeah, so I give Aaron Rodgers all the respect I would Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck, but I also think the Patriots offense is good too. So.
Well, more than Andrew Luck. To me, he's on a different level.
Oh, yeah, I mean, at this point.
He has a Super Bowl, and I saw that stat the other day. He hasn't thrown a home interception since 2012. It's more than a year and a half since he's thrown a home pitch.
Yeah, he's a technician, plus he has some legs.
Mm-hmm. Plus he has playmakers. Yeah.
He's an all-around, you know, Luck is going to be the best all-around quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Right now, probably Aaron Rodgers is. You know, when you look at all facets of quarterbacking and running,
probably
he's probably the best all-around quarterback
experience,
in the
accuracy.
League.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Patriots are playing pretty well offensively,
too. That's why I say, sure.
And now you get back to defenses and matchups. But, yeah, the Patriots absolutely have a chance
I'd say they have a 45% chance of winning.
I mean, they could beat anybody in the league right now, the way they're playing. But they could also be beaten by the better teams in the league any week.
I mean, the key for the Patriots is how good is this defense? We think it's better. Even Paul said, you know, my eye test says this is as good as it's been in the last few years. But we still are waiting for some consistency.
I just think it's two things. It's the offense. Well, turnovers on the defense.
But don't you think you know that the offense is pretty good?
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. The offense needs to play like it has played. A 30-point offense. I think they are that as long as 87 lines up. Defensively, they need to continue to force and take advantage of turnovers.
Well, you know.
You're not going to be perfect. We're talking about this league that isn't very good.
No
one's perfect.
The run defense.
You're not going to be able to stop the run against great teams. I'm sorry, you're not.
Well, why not?
But you know what? If you force turnovers and score 30, you're going to win that game.
Well, but in the past, they had been able to stop the run against great teams. You know, run defense was never an issue for the Patriots.
Well, first of all, the run defense is different. You have Vince Wilfork, and that's it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They're not going to stop the run. Well, I find it hard to believe that if Marshawn Lynch and the Seahawks, who just put up 300 and whatever rushing against the Giants, want to run against you,
they
are going to run against you. But guess what? That doesn't mean they are going to win the game.
Again, Eddie Lacy's a much better running back than who was the running back in the Denver game, Hillman?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Eddie Lacy is better than Ronnie Hillman. No doubt about that.
I would take Lacy over Hillman any day.
So would Peyton Manning.
All right,
Corey. Thanks for the call.
You feel like he was on a delay.
Did he just call to tell us his mother likes Aaron Rodgers? I don't know.
And I didn't really understand the hypothetical when we actually play that team in a couple weeks.
2 weeks, I know. It's like if this were, you know, August and they said if we were going in this week.
Right.
I
mean, or if this were like old school baseball where you didn't actually play the other team, like you had to wait till this. If you thought this.
Well, but look who you were. Andy, look who you were talking to. You're talking to the kid that waited till like 3:30 to leave for a 4:25 game from
Manchester.
And you notice
he has mommy issues?
Yeah, not
whether it's stepmommy or mommy, he has both.
Yeah, he was waiting for his mom to pick him up to bring him to the game.
Well, I think that was stepmom.
Yeah. How old do you think that guy is? Like 40?
Well, maybe his.
I don't know, but he thinks you're an a-hole.
Maybe his dad, you know, married like a 20-year-old. Then it's worth waiting for her to pick you up to take her to.
Are you saying they're sharing her, Fred? Is that what you're saying?
This just became
wow. This is really
awkward.
Yeah. Could happen.
Could it? I mean, does that really happen?
Absolutely.
Like you know, people who have banged their stepmother.
She had the old buck now. She wants the young Steve.
Whatever scenario you can think of, I guarantee somewhere in the world it's going on.
And not just in those films that you get?
No.
Right. That's what I think. It goes on in penthouse forums and porno movies.
I'm telling you, whatever you can imagine, somewhere, somehow,
so
it's
a pizza
happening.
Delivery guy somewhere has opened up a box with a schlong pointing out of it. Because that happens in movies. That's a scenario that happens in
I'm
movies.
I'm sure it
well,
has.
Justin Timberlake had the whole...
Right. I mean,
I'm sure
every scenario.
Pretty much. Yep. Yep.
Pretty much. But there's like gangbang movies.
That happens.
Where?
Oh my God! Other than
in gangbang movies, where does that happen?
Oh,
where?
Frat house. Listen, I won't name the school or where it is, but
Emerson.
University
of Tampa.
I know.
The BU hockey house.
There was a frat house.
The BU
hockey house in Boston, where down the street this woman lived who was married, and during the day she would come to the frat house and they would just take turns on her. And this is a woman in her 40s.
Was she hot?
You know, she wasn't bad, but I mean.
Did her husband know?
This absolutely happened.
Did her husband know?
I don't know if he knew. I can't imagine how he wouldn't.
Is this while you were going to school?
Yes. I didn't go to that school. My friends went
there. I don't care about the school. Did you go to that event?
No, I did not. But.
Well, you had to have been in the fraternity, apparently, right?
This stuff happens.
With her, who knows? She doesn't sound like she had a lot of rules.
This stuff happens.
Wow. Wow.
I really lead a sheltered life.
And keep it that way. You don't want to get involved in all that. Trust me, let's go to Matthew in California. Matthew, how you doing?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good. Fred's fantasies are at 2, and they're not 4 today.
I'm really looking forward to it. I made a lot of bets with my dad and my little brother. If I win, I have to buy my Andrew Luck jersey. My little brother, I have to buy my little T.Y. Hilton jersey, but that's why me and Gronk is doing the Edelman jersey, so I have to feel confident that we're going to win, which I do feel confident, because I'm not really scared of their defense. And I also, I don't know, I just think that Andrew Luck's not over the hump. He's kind of in that Peyton Manning stage. Where he can't over the hump yet. He eventually will, but he's not. You know what I'm talking about, guys?
I kind of agree with that. With the turnovers, he's fumbled 6 times, lost 2, has 9 picks. You know, he's been a little loose with the football. I still think he makes mistakes that cost him. Sometimes he'll dig a hole in a little stretch. Yeah. Then he's good enough to dig out of the hole most
fearless.
Of the time.
He's
right.
Fearless.
Well, that fine line between fearless and stupid, brazen, you know.
He absolutely... moves on to the next play.
Right. Which is good and can
example,
be bad.
We should have been picked off like twice during that Giants game. There was some decisions that he was throwing. You're like, damn, that should have been picked off. That was a really bad decision.
Right. But he's also really good and, is whatever, first in the league in yards and up there in touchdowns. He's on pace for like 6,000.
I can't see him though, because I think they throw like 50 times or like 45 to 50 times a game. I can't see throwing that many times against the Patriots without getting any turnovers. We're going to get turnovers.
Well,
if they're going to throw that much.
Right, and they're even. They're even on the year in turnovers. The Patriots are plus 12. They lead the NFL. That, to me, would be one of the differences in this game. The other will be Gronk against the middle of their defense. But I do think it's interesting. When was the last time, and I don't know this, we need one of our listeners to Google it, the Patriots were an underdog for 2 straight weeks?
Oh, really?
We were underdog at home against, and now we're the underdog in Indy,
makes
which
sense.
Is probably deserved.
Yep.
You know, Indy's
basically
a good football team at home.
That's basically a pick 'em
right.
If you go with the 3-point at home rule.
You know, now you'd look back and say, well, maybe you shouldn't have been the underdog at home against the Broncos, but you should have. They were good.
Yeah,
coming in.
Absolutely.
So I can't imagine too many times in the Belichick era, back-to-back weeks, that the Patriots have been the underdog.
Another thing that McDaniels talked about this week for the Colts game was the fact that Indy blitzes so much as being a factor, because he said they blitz a lot more than most of the teams we've played.
Right. Good luck with that.
This year. And
so, well, they're blitzing, and they have Sergio Brown behind them. Good luck with that.
No, but I'm just
good luck.
Maybe they blitz because of Sergio.
Right,
because
if we don't get there, he can't cover, so we might as well take the chance.
Right.
Damn it, what is going on with me?
Well, listen.
This fish oil is not working.
You wrote an article that said that Randy Moss might be interested in coming back into the league if it was Manning or Brady. And Eldridge from North Carolina is on the line.
Oh, geez.
Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Brady. How y'all doing?
Good.
Would you take Moss back right now?
Of course he would.
Yes, I would. Hey, you know what? If you look at that article on the PFW, the comment, I ain't the only one. It's about 40 other Patriot fans say the same thing.
You're right.
So
he
I'm
is
not
a
the only one.
He's a lightning rod that it just attracts people.
How old is he now? 38, 37.
Claims he didn't retire because of physical reasons. It was a personal issue. I think it may have had to do with sort of children and domestic and that stuff. But claims he didn't retire because of the physical.
No, because he says he's still in shape, and I might believe that. I don't know.
I might believe it too, because he's a freak. The dude's a freak.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who else would take him back. Brian Timms, his little, you know, mentee. Is that a word?
Well, if they took Moss, Brian Timms might be gone.
Well, yeah, that's I won't
be careful what you wish for.
But my question is on the defense.
No, Dobson. He'd be.
Definitely.
Oh, boy. You got
some
cell phone
issues
there.
You got a bad cell there, Eldridge. Why don't you try calling back a little later?
He's driving so fast that the cells can't even pick up the signal.
Sorry about that. All right, let's get to some emails then.
Already?
Shall we?
Now we're into the show.
John
he
in L.A.
doesn't care about our emailers anymore. He's just so in love with talking to people.
John in L.A., word out of Indy has it that Sergio Brown will continue to play ahead of LaRon Landry in the Colts secondary. Given the fact that Rob Gronkowski is currently alive, would it be wise to consult a chiropractor to deal with Paul's rigorous pregame nodding? prediction, Gronk puts up 100-plus yards and multiple touchdowns, and Sergio's ass finds the bench in Week 12. Hopefully his ass will have better luck finding the bench than he had tracking receivers and balls during his time here in New England. Patriots win big in Indy. Colvin sends cookies.
Ooh, cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
He makes a good
voice.
Is that
what he's saying? If the Patriots win, he'll send cookies and cupcakes?
No, he never comes through.
No.
Never.
You should hold him to that.
He stopped by the combine a couple years ago. That's the last time I had his cupcakes. They were so moist.
Let's see. LT from Adelaide. The start and finish to Wednesday's PFW was why we listened to this show. Starting off with a Paul, Andy, and Fred argument about the offensive line facts, and Fred finishing the show off with the line about Andy's high school career is classic. Hypothetically, if the Patriots' defense was to defend the Patriots' offense, how do you think Bill and Matt Patricia would scheme to match up and beat Tom and his band of merry men?
It's a good question. Very good question.
How would Belichick defend his own team?
I think he would try to be a little rough with the receivers at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Pep, you know,
I think Browner. I think he might use Browner and a safety on Gronk. I could see him using Browner and
Chung and Browner
Chung
maybe
on Gronk. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Put Revis on.
Probably
LaFell?
No, probably Edelman.
Edelman?
Might be Revis on Edelman.
Take Edelman out of the game.
Yeah.
And maybe Logan Ryan would draw LaFell, since now Dennard is you know, healthy scratch and doesn't play anymore.
Right.
It would be interesting. Yeah. It would definitely be interesting. I think they would try to do what they do to good quarterbacks, though, with weapons. It is a lot of flooding of zones, a lot of some of that stuff. Maybe not, because I think Brady would pick apart matchups if he knew what the matchups were. So I think there would be a lot of mixed coverages and zones. I want to eat.
LT from Adelaide finishes up. Thank you for all you guys do. And have you guys noticed that Paul is trying to pacify Fred in these arguments, saying things like, I know we don't agree, but that's okay. Paulie, it is not okay. Please return to the old school Paul Perillo, where you would still be beating that Packers fan if your brother wasn't there. So, Paul's becoming soft.
He's not becoming soft. I actually hate when he says that. It's okay. We don't have to agree.
Right.
I find it very annoying and
condescending.
It's condescending.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And I just want to punch him in the face when he does it.
Because you think he doesn't believe it.
No, he doesn't. He thinks he's right. He thinks you're wrong. And it's okay. You're wrong, but we don't have to agree.
Is it like the no socks? Okay.
Yeah.
Where
he's
where
condescending,
okay, too,
if we're going to start listing condescending people.
All right. Going to take a break here to eat some food. We'll be right back with a lot more emails here in PFW Progress.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league.
I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster piss?
I have not.
You don't know from soup then if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is
soup.
Is it a soup?
Every once in a while it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster bisque, it just...
Because it's a stew, a soup, or is it
no
a stew?
No soup for you. It's like sex for your throat.
Is it chowder, a soup? Eric already has sex for his brother.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Freddie Paul once took part in one of those gangbangs, he said.
Is that right? You did?
You said it was BU, right?
Huh? No, I didn't.
He's having his lunch right now.
I didn't say what school it was.
The BU Hockey House.
No. Gopes,
that would
right?
Be the, that would be the penalty box at Aganis Arena. That's fact, not opinion.
I don't get it. What?
That's where they had gangbangs. That's where they got
in the penalty box?
They got a lot of trouble.
We've talked
how
about
big's
that.
How big is the penalty box?
I don't know, when Northeastern's playing.
Question is, how big is her
half
the
team?
Gopes writes in, first things first, the Patriots are undefeated every time I've emailed, so plan on getting an email from me every week. Second, I had the Patriots winning 42-17 against the Broncos. I'm 8-1 predicting games this year. Didn't see the Dolphins game coming. And 3-0 when I email it. I think it's time to fire Eric the moron, referring to when he called me a moron. Remember when Eric went on a rant about us listeners not knowing him well enough to judge him? In my opinion, he gets what he deserves. He is on the least, yet he's the most hated. Oh, is it because of his opinion? Nope. Paul also said Tom is declining, but not many of us hate him. He tells us not to judge him, and I question one thing, and he calls me a moron. Oh, this guy's really on that, huh?
He's really stuck on this moron thing. We could say much worse. Just almost swore.
Anyway, Paul, you guaranteed a win against the Dolphins after that week one loss. You still feel it being easy, or do you think it's up for grabs, Patriots at the Dolphins?
It's home.
Dolphins,
I mean,
at
Dolphins
Patriots.
At the Patriots?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a win. I think that's a virtue.
Oh, but you know what? He says Dolphins, but I think he means the Colts, because then he says
I didn't guarantee a win over the Colts. I mean, I think they're going to win the game.
Oh, no, this is separate. He says, last thing, I got the Patriots 45-30 this week. Tom will shred that defense while Luck will throw two interceptions, but will try to make a comeback but fail.
I can see that.
Yeah. Okay. Gope's not happy with you, Eric. You
Gope?
You called him a moron.
I also like how he said,
call him a dope now. Gope the dope.
Not many people hate Paul. Like, I can't speak for everybody now.
Well, when you have as many listeners as we have, there's going to be portions that hate everybody. Although no one hates Fred.
That's true. Fred, you are universally liked.
Well, he's the only homer.
And we are honored to have you in our presence. Right? Tim in Pensacola?
I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You honor me with your presence?
Yeah.
That's the guy.
That email had a little bit of everything that is known as Fred. Mispronunciations, burps midway through.
Well, it's the first email after lunch.
And that's what I was getting to. I was wondering if we should sort of notice that.
This is when he gives us the third quarter numbers joke.
Right. Should we, fill for a little bit while you let things settle down?
Maybe.
How the pizza didn't go down so smooth?
No, it's just, you have 4 minutes to eat a pizza. It's a little bit, get some gas going in there.
Believe me, I know. I suck my food down pretty fast. There's a lot of gas.
You're unbelievable. Corey in Chicago, what's up? I'm more worried for the upcoming matchup against the Colts than this one against the Broncos. We are coming off an emotional rivalry where we stomped them, and I'm worried some players can get content. I'm also nervous about the fact that we are away, and the Colts look good but boring offense. What do you think?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do you think the Colts have a boring offense?
Is it boring to lead the NFL in scoring?
That's the thing.
Oh, gee. Nice little rhyme there.
Is it boring to, I forgot, what were the numbers I was spewing to you, Paul? They have like 9 guys with 20 or more catches. I mean, it's one of those old Bledsoe offenses where he's just spreading it around to everybody. You have a running back with 6 touchdown catches in Bradshaw. You have the Allens come back to be a key part of the offense. Everybody thinks of T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne. This offense goes far deeper than those guys.
Right. Yeah, I do think I would be more worried if they had to play immediately after the Denver game. I think the fact that they had a bye Correct. Week sort of lessens the letdown factor.
Now I'm worried, did Brady hurt his arm throwing Ben across the pool in whatever paradise location he was at?
Well, I do agree that was an emotional win, and they played so well against the best team in football that everybody was telling them that was the best team in football going in.
My husband cannot throw my son and catch him, too.
So I do I do have some concerns about letdown, but I think the bye week sort of mitigates those. Don't you, Freddie?
Absolutely. I think both teams
50-50 whether he was listening.
I took a shot.
I don't know. I
know he was reading the emails. That was unfair.
No, it's true. I think that, you know, with the whatever emotion you had or emotion that let down, now you've had 2 weeks in between.
But I also agree with Andy. There's nothing boring about the Colts offense. It's a very good offense. I mean, do you think the Patriots offense is boring? Because I don't. The way when you score points like that, I think it's exciting.
Let's see. Dan writes in, nothing personal against Big Al. Sometimes I seriously feel like some of the things he says just don't make sense. Road out of conference games like exposition games? Really? Okay.
Exhibition.
But same thing. So let's just hope the Broncos.
I'm not wrong.
Let's just hope the Broncos drop another game where they're already played the bulk of their difficult matchups so we can take it easy against Green Bay. There's only 2 situations where it's a good idea to put your backup. Your backup in when you're in a playoff race, when the game is no longer in doubt, and if your seeding cannot be changed by losing. The only way an out-of-conference road game comes even close to an exhibition game is when considering tiebreakers, but never mind any of that. How about let's just play as well as we can against a good opponent? Let's see, on a lighter note, as a fellow Emerson alum, that stuff you were talking about definitely happens there. Well,
gangbangs?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but listen, hey.
So you tell me I missed out on the Tufts gangbangs.
Yep, you did.
Not that I would really, I'm not really into that, I don't think.
No.
Man, how do you know, though?
Yeah,
try it.
I don't want to see another guy anywhere near where I am, you know?
If it's all women, then, you know, you're in good shape.
Yeah, that's...
Well, then that's not... Is
that's
well,
not
yeah.
A, no, that's
Why not.
Not?
A, that's yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's an orgy, but not a gangbang.
Oh, okay.
Is multiple men.
Okay, all right. All right, Henry.
Can you think of what Paul goes from? He goes from discussing the Patriots with Mike Reese and then back into this. Like, you couldn't be any more serious, cerebral, analytical.
What do you got there?
Ooh, Kevin Collins just walking in with cookies.
Where's that from?
Capriati cookies.
Oh,
all right.
Are they good?
I have that plain one.
They're enormous.
Ice cream. Henry in Phoenix. I know living in Phoenix is wicked far from Foxborough, but I wouldn't trade my low 80s degree weather for anything. Question. I'm as huge a Tom Brady fan as they come, but I feel like most people talk about Tom like he'll always be our quarterback. Given his current age, what do you think it will take to trigger Belichick to replace Tom?
The October 2015 trading.
You're still going with that, huh?
I think right now,
I look smart. Eric and I take all the heat for the declining skills. Andy's the only one that has a target date on getting rid of Brady.
But I don't think it's declining skills. I think it's maximizing value.
You're just trying to run him out of town, still good. That's all.
You have your other guy with now a year and a half of experience.
So you think it's possible that he's going to be as good as Brady?
Oh, no.
Oh.
But he's... His,
that's not good value.
His
then.
Declining is coming, and if I can get my 2 ones in a player or something, like I heard yesterday, Felger, they were saying, like, I'm not going to trade Tom Brady, and some guy goes,
I
2 ones
that.
And Larry Fitzgerald, and Brad goes,
well, I do that now.
That now.
I would do that right now. If the trading deadline hadn't already passed, and someone offered me that right this second.
You know, I think there is a possibility, and it's fun to talk about. Whether or not it happens or not, it's fun to talk. Oh, there was a chocolate chip hiding.
Earlier, we had a question about when's the last time the Patriots were back-to-back dogs.
ATS.
120 straight regular season games without being a back-to-back dog.
Anybody other than me really surprised that they're an underdog this week?
A little bit.
I'm stunned.
Wait, how far does I need? Why can't they give me a date? Like
120 games, 16 games in a season.
So 32.
So about 8 years.
Yeah. So that puts me at 06. Paul, when was it?
Probably that. Well, no, Castle was
08.
08. Yeah.
Yeah, and, then, and I actually don't
Oh,
here,
here's some more. From what I have found, it looks like week 16, 17 of 2006 season at Jacksonville and at Tennessee.
They were underdogs?
2006.
In those games? Well, yeah, that was the year where they didn't have any wide receivers.
No,
yeah.
I know, but...
That wasn't a great team in 06, and at the time, Jacksonville and Tennessee were decent to good, and they were both tough games.
Did they beat Jacksonville in the postseason?
They beat them both.
That year?
That year? No, they beat the Jets. Then they beat San Diego. Then they lost to the Colts.
Right. Right.
I don't
Wait
make fun of me. Just I don't know why they stick in my head. They just do.
Well, you're a loser.
Eldridge is back on the phone, driving in the backwoods of Georgia. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
But my question is about the three acquisition we picked up. I know Harris looking good by rushing the passer, but I don't think. They got Casillas just for draft pick, just to play special teams.
Why not? They needed that.
Okay, but he can't cover backs and tight end off the line.
No, but like, they need the depth at linebacker, and usually linebackers are pretty good special teams. But so, you know, if you're going to put your current linebackers on special teams and one of them gets hurt, now what? So you'd rather have Casillas in there, and then, you know, in a spot he could back up at linebacker. But you need that depth on special teams too.
Okay. I know y'all watch practice a little bit, so how are they looking? I don't know when they put them in.
We don't get practice. To see any of that.
We don't get to see anything.
You know that?
Eric was giddy about one drill the other day or whatever it was.
We got one drill today too, but it was
one drill.
Yeah, it's warm ups. That's all it is.
Okay, I was just wondering how would they use them? You know, if they use them in the game, because like I said, Indy multiple weapons with those two tight ends, Allen and Hilton. You forget about Hicks and whenever you want to play, whenever you want to catch something, you know. And then you got, like you said, those other backs at the backfield. I was just wondering.
The middle of the field is going to be really interesting in this game for both teams. You know, I think Gronk will dominate it for the Patriots. And with Fleener, Allen, and Bradshaw as out of the backfield, you have three legitimate parts of their passing game in the middle of the field. And we've been praising Patrick Chung. We've been talking about some of the success there. We know what Collins did against Fleener last year. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Thanks, Eldridge. We did find someone.
Wow, Carson Palmer didn't even need to get backboarded to come off the field after his torn ACL, unlike Marcus Smart. Did you see that, Fred?
No.
Embarrassing.
They
sprained ankle. They backboarded him.
Oh, God.
Sprained freaking ankle. He gave a thumbs up like, you know, I'm still breathing and can move my extremities, and he's out maybe 2 weeks. Maybe 2 weeks for a sprained ankle.
We did find someone who hates me. Taylor writes in, I hate Fred. He hangs up on callers, then declines to read emails to take more calls. Make up your mind, fella. McCurdy, Garoppolo, and other mispronounced names drive me up a wall. Fred, listen to the PA announcer at the next home game. He'll steer you in the right direction. Waffling between unabashed homerism and dejected schoolgirl pessimism has become the norm throughout the week.
Ooh.
Let Eric run the show and bring me some B-Lo instead of Fred. Been listening for 5 years and still praying for a change.
I don't know if he believes any of that, but it was well written.
Yep.
Because I do agree that you have the bounced between the homerism
That's
and
what
the
a homer does.
Jilted
we,
schoolgirl.
We ride the roller coaster.
No, a homer sticks with his team. We have plenty of homers that listen
but
to this
show. But you get dejected.
Not like you have been.
No,
not like saying that the Broncos are better and the Broncos are going to win and all that crap.
Well, no, but that's just straight analysis.
But you've
but you didn't used to have straight analysis.
That's not dejection.
You've
that's
morphed
not dejection.
A little bit.
You've
morphed a little
changed.
Bit.
That's not dejection. I call it like I see it. I do.
He just sees it with rose-colored glasses on all the time.
But
he just sees it a little differently.
You used to fall right in line with a vast majority of our callers and listeners. After a loss, it would be always like a fluke, bad call, screwed.
Well, usually
now,
it is.
No. But now, when it's not, like Kansas City.
Well, how can you not?
Oh, the homers.
Yeah.
The homers will come up with something.
You used to be able to.
You used to be able to come up with something. That's what we relied on you for.
Not after a loss like Kansas City. How often does that happen?
The Miami game.
The Cleveland game.
You did it in the Miami game. a little bit. You know,
oh,
it was,
yes.
It was hot.
And
it
I
was
will
hot.
Now, too, yeah.
You see, you were, you right. were your homer self against Miami.
I call it like I see it. Like, a few years ago, Cleveland, I was making no excuses there. They got thoroughly beaten from
nah,
top to bottom.
Those things happen every once in a while. You come
well,
off.
They do, but you right. still have
that's,
to recognize
that's what
that
you
the
do.
Team played terribly.
But now, like, it seems like after a so-so performance, I'm just saying, you're not as... You're not
lost your homer.
You're not as over-the-top homer as you used
well,
to be.
Well, listen, Paul,
and that's what the fans...
I understand. You can have a different opinion. It's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It's okay. We can disagree. I know you guys don't like that on this show. Anybody dares to disagree with Fred and Andy.
There it is. There it is. That's it right there. We had an emailer before, Paul, you were out, who said that he's tired of you trying to placate me. He wants you back to the old Paul where you wouldn't say things like that. It's okay if we have different opinions.
Because it doesn't have to get personal. It doesn't have to.
Well, who's you know, getting personal?
No, I'm just saying you're allowed to not have the same opinion that I do.
We don't really ever get personal
on
the show.
Do. Oh, yeah, we do. You just did. Oh, Paul, you know, you just did. It's okay. You guys can have different opinions from me. I don't need anybody to validate mine.
Why
you
just
can be
you?
Idiots?
Oh, God. Claudio in Brazil. Last time we faced the Colts, Jamie Collins had an awesome game, and he was in his he was in one of his initial games with the Patriots. Now with a lot more experience, could see another impressive...
He's played like eight more games since then.
Another
and
impressive
he has started
presentation
like eight games already.
Yeah, I think he... Jamie Collins, whether it's because of the thigh or whatever, he's taken a little bit of a step backwards from where he ended last year, but...
But he has shown flashes
yeah, he's
of his
shown
athleticism.
Flashes, and
I thought he was terrific against them.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
and
lately...
It's what he should have done.
He's starting to come back on.
I don't actually fault him. I think it was the hopes and the expectations that were just not really believable or attainable for him. He had to be a disappointment this year unless he made the Pro Bowl,
true.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Because everybody thought that game against Fleener was going to become some sort of, like, the norm.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, then start booking his, you know, trip to Canton.
Joe writes in, Barry Insiong mentioned last week that Tim Reuter's Stadium Tavern is a Patriots fan and PFW Elite-owned bar within easy walking distance of Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll be hosting Patriots fans all weekend, and our location makes us an ideal tailgating destination. You can eat, drink, use our free Wi-Fi to keep up with fantasy, and watch the early games with us. We'll have indoor and outdoor setups, so we'll be able to accommodate those with minors. We'll have a big screen bolted to the outside of the building and a fire going in the event the weather isn't cooperating.
I like fire.
We'll also be there to celebrate the win after the game. So if you're in Indianapolis for the Super Bowl, you'll remember us as home base and a friendly place for Patriots fans, both local and visiting. The bar is located at 8802 Southwest Street in Indianapolis, 46225. So, and he has a little picture there of the state of the tavern, and in the background you see Lucas Oil Stadium. It's right there, hop, skip, and a jump. So that's the Stadium Tavern. If anyone wants to go there,
you're gonna go.
You're gonna go.
I'll probably
you probably have another one to go to. You have a lot of parties.
I'll probably make
Should
it.
Should we stop by there during the combine, Paul?
Stadium Tavern. Could work it in.
I think it's on the other side of Lucas, so it's
a
further walk.
Then no.
It's outside our one block comfort zone.
Let's see. The other Christian writes in, hey, guys, just wanted to ask if you guys still think the Patriots should have taken Patterson in the first round instead of drafting, trading back, and getting Collins, Ryan, and Boyce. I've seen a few Vikings games this season, and the guy isn't that good of a wide receiver. He pretty much is a dynamic kick returner who plays wide receiver at a mediocre level. I say the Patriots made the right decision, passing on Patterson and getting Collins and Ryan. What do you guys think?
I would make the trade again. First of all, I never said I would pick Patterson instead of making a trade where I could get four picks. Now, if you're asking me about the four players, I think you flat missed on two of them.
Who were the four?
Logan Ryan and Josh Boyce.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Collins.
Well, three.
Yeah.
Three. Collins is sort of a middling starter, and Ryan is losing playing time by the week, and Boyce is already on the practice squad,
right.
Probably only because he wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
The new rule allowed them to keep him.
Right.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be here at all. So if you're asking me if those three players or Cordarrelle Patterson, I think Brady could do something with Cordarrelle Patterson
That's
that Matt Castle and Teddy Bridgewater aren't able to do right now.
But I'm still not.
He's not a great wide receiver, right. And I was not in love with him coming out of the draft. But a bigger version of Percy Harvin, I think you could find something to do with him, don't you think?
Sure.
Alex from Philly, what a great weekend for the Patriots. The Bills Mafia got beat. Our time Dolphins choke a game away. And the Jets not only beat a surging Steelers team, Vic had his classic vintage Vic trap game that all coaches, fans, and media fall for once a year thinking he is the answer, forgetting that he can't last. And the best is yet to come when this Thursday the Bills Mafia in our time collide in a battle for the top 10 draft pick supremacy. Question, how good are the Colts? I know I might sound like a homer, but I think the Colts are an average team with a great quarterback that may be overachieving on defense, which is ironically what I thought this team was pre-Gronk, improved health, and pre-Revis. So how good are they really? So basically are like the Patriots used to be.
I love the description of the Colts. So I think it's an average team with a great quarterback.
Yeah.
I think that's true. That makes them dangerous. Because anytime you have a great quarterback, you're dangerous.
And I think they're a little above that. I mean, I think T.Y. Hilton's pretty good. I think Reggie Wayne's pretty good.
I'm not saying they're without any players, but I don't think it's a great team. I think there's a lot of similarities between this team.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think the Patriots are an average team with a great quarterback and an even better coach, which I think puts you over the top of a lot of these other teams.
But they certainly don't have a defense. Fred, the answer to your question was Bjorn Werner.
Bjorn Werner.
But their leading sacker.
According to... I mean, just judging from the email or what he's talking about is the overachieving defense. I agree with Andy. I look at the personnel. I look at, you know, the red zone numbers. I think they're 32nd in the league in red zone defense. They look abysmal. But before that 50-point game, they had allowed something like 17 or less in five straight games, something silly like that. I wouldn't have thought Indy was capable of that. I think since they lost to Denver, they only gave up 24 to Denver.
True.
In the first game of the season, I think. Oh, was it 31-24 or 24-17? Well, it might have been 31.
I think it was 31.
Might have been 31. But they gave up 24 right off the go. It was down 24-0. Then they shut them out for a long time. I think they may have given up a touchdown in the second half. So I think it was 31. I wouldn't have thought that Indy could even get in the way of an offense like Denver's. Mm. And they did a good job against them. I agree with the emailer. I don't think it's a great roster. I think it's a good roster, but not great.
But who is?
No one.
No one great.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Hey. This is the only thing I'm going to say is kind of off the topic here for a second, but I think you all said it maybe like a year or two ago, but now I've truly noticed now. This NFL sucks so bad.
Yeah.
I've never seen bad football before. The Panthers last night, awful. The Giants, I think, was it the... I forgot who that was. It's a lot of blowouts.
Well, at one point...
Oh, the Giants, that's the end of that Giants game. Some of those runs that put them... You know, they had a great rushing day. They were at 2-something.
Right.
But then to get to 3, whatever they got to, the Giants just rolled over
right.
and died.
And
it
even
was
last night, at one point, Gruden just yelled out, "This isn't even competitive."
No, it isn't. A lot of these games aren't because the team just rolls over. The team that's getting killed. It is embarrassing on some levels.
Yeah,
because, you know, I mean, the thing that I got a lot of friends that talk about college versus pros, and like this year the college, you know, got the little playoff system, and I was, you know, talking to them about how can you really like pride yourself in college football with no playoffs? You know, they're always, their highlight games are always blowouts. They're just, it's trash football. It's trash football. I say, at least in the NFL, the game's always close. But this year, it's really making me look bad. I don't know what's happened this year, but it's bad.
And I think you can argue college football is now better.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Yes, now.
These kids, now
I just don't like the style.
No, but the style. The one thing you have in college football is when somebody goes out, when their backups come in, a lot of places, they're blue-chip players looking to make their names. You know, in the NFL, it's kind of a middling guy who might be a special teamer. So you can even find in blowouts, for example, you can find stars being
born. And in the past, like, you know, teams would be out of the race, but at the end of the season, they could play spoiler and they'd still be competitive. Don't you feel this year, if a team is out of it, there's no way they're going to be a spoiler?
Based on the way they've played when they've been out of it in individual games, yes.
Right.
I think they're planning their golf outings and paradise trips.
I don't know if it's a lack of pride. Or
the Giants that Andy's talking about, there was some guys in the secondary that you talk about a lack of pride.
Yep.
That Bowman, number
he's
31.
Lost that team.
I think one of those cliche radio things you say.
He lost his team.
One of those things that, you know, it's funny how the perception can go. Jerry Reese was like the toast of the town. You know, when he had that great draft, they
But who told you, Paul?
They won the Super Bowl, you know, for the second time, and everybody was just all over how great this guy was as a talent evaluator. And that roster isn't very good anymore. You know, it might be Coughlin's fault. Maybe it's worn thin. Maybe some of these younger guys coming into the league are even less receptive to a taskmaster like Coughlin.
He's starting to look old too. He walks the sideline funny.
But he is one of the older head coaches.
No, I know, but he's starting to look like Pete Carroll is old and doesn't look old yet.
Well, that's a good point.
Sometimes Pete's uncharacteristic.
No,
you know why? You know why, Fred? I think it's your thing.
What?
I think Pete's dabbled in some HGH.
Oh, that's where he's from.
Yeah. I think he's an HGH.
Those Northern California guys.
And that's why he can't criticize his players because
right. You're
doing it, coach.
I'll bet you there's owners that take HGH.
Who?
I'm just saying. Out of 32 owners, I'll bet you there's a handful that have done it.
HGH, if he takes it, it's just to try to like keep up with the other drugs he's pumping into his system.
Meanwhile, there's a commercial with this Senogenics elite health thing for men.
That's just stupid.
What is that?
I don't know. But why would you ever go with this like over air or back of a magazine stuff? If you're gonna do it right and go for HGH.
No, but what I like is the guy
do the illegal stuff like you get right
the good stuff. Yeah. It's called good.
But if you've seen this commercial, it's an older guy and they show him. It's like you know pictures.
Shredded.
Well, he goes from, like, dumpy in, like, his late 40s to completely shredded in his 70s.
And he's now banging a hot chick, right. And he lasts longer.
And listen, I'm not suggesting you
it's
should.
It's like you put them all together.
You last longer. Like,
all those.
What kind of mind comes up with the last longer
those
part
commercials always say, like, you want to be more of a man, want to last longer. Like, those late night or, like, Jimmy Johnson was part of one for a while where, like,
yeah,
it would make you bigger and last longer and stuff. Like, what the hell?
Oh, I blame this on you, Fred. You could have put a stop to this.
There was something I was going to say, but I forgot all about it now.
But I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't always try to stay in shape, and you always. But like, does it really matter once you get to be like 55, 65 years old? You get this, you know, V-shape, shredded six-pack ab look.
I think it does. I mean, if you can
really,
do it, yeah.
You think it is?
No, but.
I was opening up the door to get made fun of, like, well, Paul, obviously you don't care.
Yeah, I don't want.
Well, I think it'd be,
and that's true.
You could be one of those. Yeah. Like, if what you are now would be a good before.
Like, I could understand if someone like you, yeah, no. continued to do because you like working out, you enjoy working out.
I think it might go the other way.
No, but it's something that's part of your everyday routine, Eric.
Yes.
You go swimming every day. You work if it's part of your DNA, and that's something that you do. Every day. I could see that,
right.
Okay? I can do it when I'm 45. I can keep doing it when I'm 65. But if you're, like, dumpy and fat, like me, in your late 40s, why do you have the epiphany when you hit, like, 58?
What if your wife divorces you?
Well, why not?
What if your wife divorces you and you're back on the market?
What if he just said, you know what? I don't have much longer to live.
Exactly!
I want to make it as good as I can be.
Right.
I'd go the other way.
So the last thing I would do is kick the crap out of myself
right. Yeah, but you think,
to have a great body.
But you look at it as a negative.
I do too.
The thing is to change your mindset and turn it into a positive.
But the body's not the negative. I'm saying if you don't like doing that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Turn it around.
To get the body.
So stop liking it.
You have to put the work in.
Right.
It's definitely more fun to eat, drink, and be merry.
That's my point.
So I'm with Paul, and I've always said at some point I'm just going to stop. I'm going to get as fat as I, because if you don't have long to live, let's have fun. Enjoy it.
But what I'm saying
I'm not sure 40 is when you say I don't have long to live.
No, I could see if you were like 25, you're not really in good shape. You know, you've really never been in good shape. And you know what? I've had enough of this.
Right.
I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to get myself in shape. I'm going to change my lifestyle. That I get. But when that guy was like 49 and looked like me.
It's never too late.
And all of a sudden,
but I do think
you know,
divorce and midlife crisis and some of that plays
in. Yeah, I mean, to me at that point, the ship has sailed. What are you going
to
do?
It's never too late to get in as good a shape.
Wait, if you got divorced, you'd like pack it in? Never stop? You know, like,
at what age? At like 60? That guy's like 78 years old.
No, like now.
On the commercial.
If you're 50.
No, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't pack it in at 50 if something happened.
You know, you might decide to get in a little shape and say, I got to hit the dating scene again.
I couldn't see me doing that. I mean, I'd want to hit the dating scene again, but listen, I'd have to.
Save that and send it to Beth. I would want to hit the dating scene.
I'd absolutely have to swim in a different part of the ocean than I started in, you know,
lower
25
your standards
years ago.
And raise your average.
It's just called paying for what you want. That's all.
Oh.
How much? He knows way too much about the sexual underbelly.
It's just like you with the
steroids.
Nutrition.
Yeah. Let's go to Jamie in Houston. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. Great.
Hey, I was in Vegas last week.
Did you see Jeff?
And I'm happy to report
I
did not see Gronk and any of his brothers DDTing each other on any stages or anything. So no Patriots sightings at all, but it was a good time, and it's good to have the Patriots back this week.
Did you win any money?
No. Vegas. You don't win money in Vegas.
You can sometimes. Some people do.
Yeah, I mean,
Patrick Willis on IR, huh?
But I had fun. I didn't have to Chevy Chase it and, you know, sell my plane ticket home and do the guess the number casino to get back. So we were okay.
Okay.
But you missed watching a Patriots game there. That's too bad.
Yeah, I wasn't able to watch any of the games. It would have been fun to see it on the sports book.
Right.
Didn't catch it. But, Andy, I think you were talking about it. I love the whole piece about the, you know, what if with Gronk, you know, he could, you know, change in history. And I am really amazed, too, that, you know, I think it's taken the season to really come to terms with how much we really miss a healthy Gronk and what a healthy Gronk can really mean to this team. And I think, you know, the course of this season when we had the slower start and weren't performing well, you know, it was because, you know, Gronk was, you know, he wasn't himself yet. He was still feeling himself out, his capabilities. And once, you know, he got into full Gronk mode, it's really opened up the entire offense. And it's unbelievable how much the dynamics he's changed around. Is that what y'all are feeling and seeing as well?
Of course. He's the most irreplaceable player in football. And as I said, he could have made Brady and Belichick the greatest ever. Single-handedly, there would be no argument. Win one more Super Bowl, go to another. He could have done it if he were healthy the last couple of years.
Yeah, he almost, and with that, you know, half an ankle that he had, you know, in that first Super Bowl, he almost caught that bomb. He almost did it on one ankle.
He did. That's how great he is.
All right, thanks, Jamie.
No one can catch a deflected Hail Mary like a guy with a bad ankle.
Tyler from North Carolina.
When
I look at Andrew Luck, I see a downgraded Peyton Manning. By that, I mean he is great but makes a lot of mistakes. I agree with you when you say he can make two or three mistakes and be fine, but there's a difference between throwing interceptions against the Ravens and giving Flacco extended chances versus Brady. In the two games Luck played the Patriots, he threw four touchdowns and seven interceptions. Our secondary is better than it was in the past, so interceptions should help us win this game.
That's true. Turnovers will be very important in this game for the teams. If they play to, you know, I've been saying this a lot, playing to sort of your turnover resume. Some have, some haven't. Geno Smith didn't. Geno Smith's in the game. If Andrew Luck is cleaner than he is at other times, you're in more trouble.
Yeah, the interceptions in general don't really bother me a lot. I think there's a time and a place. There are times when you can't do it. Now, Andrew Luck killed his team last year by doing it on the very first play of the game. You know, I think Dennard had the first one. He ran it back to the 1 yard line. Immediately put your team in a hole that when you're on the road and you're trying to pull an upset. Now, they eventually scrapped and clawed their way back in that game and within a touchdown in the fourth quarter, but you can't beat good teams like that. And that's, you know, the interception, he has 9 picks, I think.
Yes.
That number in and of itself is high, but it doesn't bother me based on the amount of plays he makes. It's when you do it. And, you know, I think that's the Peyton Manning thing. He's had plenty of seasons where he hasn't thrown a ton of interceptions, but, man, you know, you open up a playoff game here one of the years. I forget which one it was. He drove the team right down the field, got inside the 5-yard line, and threw one right to Rodney in the end zone. You can't do that.
Right.
You can't do that. I mean, you know, it was only one pick. But, it was sort of a game-deciding play.
Yep. Let's go to Dana in Connecticut. Hey, Dana.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time Pats fan. Go back to the early 70s. I want to piggyback that caller about the quality of athletes today. And I have 3 points to make real quick. Number one, I think the quality of athlete today is definitely diminished. It's a different breed of athlete. It's the me generation versus the we generation. And you got guys making infomercials and commercials before you even throw a pass in the NFL. It's ridiculous. And I think that's where the competitive nature has lost its drive. It's become like a Hollywood league now. And then with the league, the rule changes on defense. You can't play defense anymore. It's become, it's almost like a non-athletic, and the non-football athlete they're catering to, you know, the corporate crowd, get the scores, the arena type of scores. And it really bothers me. I like the old days, you know, it was the black and blue division, 17-14. I mean, you're on the edge of your seat. You never knew who was going to win the game. Now it's like the last person who has the ball wins the game, and it becomes so watered down. And I'm just so disgusted with the lack of defense. It's appalling. I mean, it's ridiculous. And when the officials let them play like they have been doing lately with the DBs, it's so much more competitive of a game. Do you guys agree?
Yes, I like to see them let the DBs play and let there be a little feistiness in the back end, and I do. Well, the one thing I would question what you said is the caliber of athlete is not worse. Oh. The caliber of player and everything
well,
that goes into
yeah.
it.
I think he's
the athlete
right.
is better.
Yeah, he's talking about the mentality, not the ability.
Right. But right.
Character, yeah.
But physically?
The athletes are much better. They're far superior, but they don't have that. They just don't have the man-up mentality. They don't have They're having a love fest, a hug fest after the game. I mean, Deacon Jones, these guys will kill you to win a game. Bob Lilly, I mean, come on and on and on. Those were men. Today, these guys are individuals.
They're men.
They just don't have that competitive drive.
Well, you can be competitive and not be a jerk to your opponent.
And it's also all sports.
You don't have to hate your opponent to be competitive.
It's got nothing to do with football. It's all sports.
No, and
after the game, they would
shake
hands.
That bothers a lot of people.
I was watching the Jet game the other day, and they're not even making an attempt to tackle. And the Giants secondary, they weren't even trying to tackle. Ronnie Harrison said the guy shouldn't even got a paycheck. I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean.
Some
this
of that stuff in the Giants fighter. Game, I happened to catch that. Andy and I were talking about it, 300 and whatever yards rushing, and a lot of that was just, and it wasn't because of bad tackling form. Like, we always rail against these guys don't wrap up.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't that.
It was just effort.
Right. It was guys said, I don't want to hit Marshawn Lynch anymore. I'm tired of getting hit by him, and they didn't want to hit him anymore. It was embarrassing.
Well, Marshawn is a throwback to the old days. I mean, he runs hard, and the safeties aren't used to this type of play. I mean, you know, Larry Wilson and guys like that, they take you out. It didn't matter whether the score was 38-0. They were playing hard. I just don't see it today. The athletes, they're bigger, they're faster, they're incredibly gifted athletes, but I don't the character
well,
of athletes.
Well, you know what else is a big factor that you didn't have back then?
Money.
Exactly. These guys are so rich.
Well,
in the 70s, they don't care.
Times, they made good money.
Oh,
no, in the 70s,
if your career ended, you could make comparable money as a car salesman
and
in
that's
Alabama.
What they did.
Yeah. Now, you can't make $50 million doing anything other than taking care of your body and
yeah.
And you hear guys like Gino talk about they all had jobs
right,
in
yeah.
the winter because the yeah. football yeah. salary wasn't
so
enough.
So football was not the be-all, end-all lottery ticket that it is now. It's a lottery ticket.
Money's ruined the game. The commercialization of it has ruined the game. I mean, look at RG3. They made this guy. They were putting him in the Hall of Fame before he even threw a pass.
Yep,
I
agree.
Come on.
He's a
dink. You know, let the guys, let him play. Yeah, and these rules, they got to stop with the illegal hands to the face. Linemen, come on.
The hands to the face one really bothers me.
They're giving automatic first. It's 3rd and 17. You work hard on 1st and 2nd down, and you get a ticky-tack call like that. Changes the flow of the game.
Yep.
You know?
I hear you, Dana.
I can't take it, guys. I love you guys. I love your show. I watch you guys on my notebook. I'm always tuning in. Been a Patriot fan. I love them. I want to see my Pats get 2 more. I'd love to see Brady get 5, and then I'm happy. I'm
right.
still sick over the loss. It was the loss to the Giants.
I know. We all are. All right. Thanks, Dana.
He's not asking for much. Just two more.
Just two more. Yeah.
That was a good call.
That was a good call.
Yeah.
To me, get through all three? The sign that the end times are upon us when it comes to this me generation are selfies. I can't stand selfies.
I'm with you, Fred. I hate that.
What is that?
I hate that.
I have to take a picture of myself. That is, to me, the most narcissistic, self-centered, self-absorbed act, I think, ever invented.
I completely agree with him. And now John Rook is going
to
do it.
But isn't it supposed to be? I mean, it's called a selfie.
I know.
It's got the word selfie.
But isn't, like, don't put me in your selfie.
And make sure it's a selfie. My bigger pet peeve is the non-selfie selfies. People say, I took a selfie and hand you the phone.
I'm like, no, selfie.
I should see your arm. You're taking a selfie.
I'm at the Taj Mahal, and I got to have my fat face in the middle of it. You know, it's like, what's the
point? See, I'm not sure I agree with him.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, I can't stand it.
But don't you... Correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm not up on all. You know, I'm not hip like Fred.
You've never heard of selfie before.
No. But to me, a selfie is when you take a picture of yourself with somebody or something.
Not all the time. People take.
Yeah, people just take them.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between that and taking a picture when you go to the Taj Mahal? You don't take a picture of yourself like 30 years ago?
I don't. I take a picture of the Taj Mahal.
You don't go to like the pyramids and
I
say,
know what I look like.
I got to take a picture of myself in the pyramids. I got to prove
a lot.
Know,
of, yeah, a lot of
so
people would do that. Right.
You've never taken a picture of yourself in front of or at something.
I'm out in Faneuil Hall and I ran into Tom Brady. Hey, Tom. Yeah. Hey, how are you? Can I take a picture with you? Mind if we take a picture? What's wrong with that?
If I see something beautiful, I don't want to mess it up with me in the picture.
Well, that's just.
But it's evidence that you were there.
Then you're abnormal.
You are abnormal.
I need to have evidence.
This is not a me generation thing of taking pictures when you're at a thing.
The selfies?
The selfie itself is something that you couldn't do then. But
I'm in a car. I'm walking out of the car.
That's different. That's
but
just
that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, that's why I started off.
Who does that?
Lots of people do that.
Oh, my God.
That's why I started off by asking if you're talking about simply taking a picture of yourself or taking a picture of yourself with somebody
or
something.
No, I'm talking about taking...
Because that, to me, is a selfie. You
know, I don't see a lot of, like, I'm in my car selfies.
I don't either.
There's a reason.
No, there are tons of people that do that. That's all they do is they post pictures. Some of their Instagram accounts is just pictures of them all day long.
Right.
But people over the age of, like, 19?
Yes.
Yeah.
I miss it.
Yeah, see, but that's why I asked the question before I started. Because that, to me, that's silly. Just taking a picture of yourself doing nothing.
Fred's right. A lot of people do that.
I don't see that. That's why I asked you because I don't do Instagram, so right. I'm not up on that.
Right.
Stuff. So I'm not saying that you're wrong because I
don't
know.
On tourist location pictures.
No, right.
But
you're
selfies
right.
That
I know
I
what Instagram
see,
is.
It's tourists,
I see
it. Or you run into a famous person.
Oh, that happens. Yeah, that's happened.
And that to
that's
me, that's forever. It's just you used to take it with a Polaroid.
But that's different from what
a regular camera. Now
you used to roll the dice and hand it to a stranger and hope you get your camera back.
Right.
But that's different from what Fred's talking about.
Hey, but that to me is a selfie. Is hey. I'm at Gillette Stadium. I'm going to take a picture outside. Can you take a picture of me?
Right.
That's what everybody does.
Different. But this is like, there are some people that have like literally hundreds and hundreds of pictures of themselves.
Yes.
Themselves.
No, he's right. He's right.
It's ridiculous.
That's
unacceptable.
That's unacceptable.
Let's see. Another fan from Canada writes in, Ross, I referenced this a while ago, but email never got read. What happened to Fred getting a treadmill in his office?
He chickened out.
Yeah, I just didn't want to be like the hamster and everyone walks by and I'm on my treadmill. You know, it just would be odd, I think. I think if I had
that finally dawned on you that it would be odd?
No, I think if I had a more secluded office, I would definitely
do
that.
Well, Fred, if you feel the need, there's a bike in the office behind me.
That guy was down.
Mine's the first office you pass by when you come through the glass door. I mean, everybody passes by.
Suddenly you care about what other people think?
I just think it would be a little odd.
You're a little.
I don't like, you know, I don't like taking pictures of myself. I certainly don't want to be, you know, a showcase for people walking by.
So you would have had a hard time if you were a boxer. You know how they used to do those, the staged media workouts,
right?
Like the workouts, like you would have had a hard time with that. People watching you do the bag.
On the topic of exercise, got separated almost a year ago and dropped close to 50 pounds since by going vegetarian, running long distance, and swimming several times a week.
Is that religious?
It's a lifestyle choice that you make, not something that's ingrained in you. Also helps you make room for lots of heavy Canadian beers during football season.
It's all the diet. It really is. The diet is the key. If you went vegetarian and didn't do anything else, you'd lose weight.
And Marvin writes in, Kim Kardashian.
Well, exercise is
Kim
a big Kardashian. Part.
No, it is, but the diet is just, the diet is
Fred
massive.
Just gave you the look.
He did.
Kim Kardashian is releasing a selfie book with 2,000 selfies.
Yes.
Pictures
that,
of her
that,
selfies
that kind of stuff,
sucking.
I'm with you.
I think is reprehensible. I think you know everything.
There are a lot of
she's about
people
and all
that
stuff.
Do that.
She's sucking, Andy.
Yeah, this selfie thing has
Richard.
To stop. It really does.
He's right.
I'm tired. I'm sorry.
He's not just a crotchety old man. He's right.
I just don't see those as much as
I don't guess.
I'm not in that circle.
If you were in more social media things, you would see it more.
And
than
that's
you would
why.
Care
and
for
that's why I started off by asking.
You would say, "I don't think I care for it."
I wouldn't.
But my biggest pet peeve is selfie that's taken by somebody else.
And to me, it's all part of selfie. It's all part of, you know, parents who, you know, these helicopter parents that hover over their kids. And my kid, everything has to be for my kid, and nothing could go wrong for him or her. You know, it's just
Helicopter parents. I've never heard that before.
Means. Oh, you never heard of that?
That they hover over.
They hover
the kids?
Over their kid. And, it's just, you know, and so these kids grow up thinking it's
all
about me.
I'm doing
it's all about me. The world revolves around me. So I get the phone and I take pictures of me instead of taking pictures of the outward world. Everything is me. It's me, 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 me.
I was just thinking
the
Bosworth documentary where he went back and looked at all the pictures and everything.
Yeah.
Fred doesn't have that because he's never taken a single picture of himself anywhere. So like life.
It's true. I have a paucity of pictures.
And that
I sort of
you don't
think
want
that's
them?
Sad, though.
Not really. I know where I've been.
But you don't want to share it with grandchildren?
No, you can say I'm being silly or disingenuous. I have never been a
picture
person.
I didn't say you were being disingenuous. I said you're being silly.
Okay, and you're not regretting that as you get older?
Paul, we can disagree. It's okay.
Oh, all right.
No, but I could see when you were younger
but
saying
I don't think
that.
I don't think you're lying about it.
No, I've gotten into fights with my mother, you know, a long time ago because I didn't want my picture taken.
But I understand that as a kid. A young kid.
And as an adult.
It hasn't changed as you get older?
No, maybe it's a...
You don't want to look
back.
Maybe
I'm weird. No, I want to look back at other people.
But you're part of the group. Man. Like, you're part of the... Yeah, I find that weird.
Yeah. Well, that's just how I am. But that's... I agree that that's not normal. But all these selfies are ridiculous. It's got to stop.
I agree. I mean, there's no need for people to take selfies in their car of just themselves doing... what they do.
Well, I'm 100% with Fred on that.
But
I don't really, like, I am on Facebook, and I don't see anybody do that.
And I don't see, the other thing people will say is, like, I'm not going to be on Twitter. Don't need to know what you had for breakfast and what you had for lunch. Right. I don't see a lot of people actually doing that on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, that's the people we follow. We follow Twitter kind of for work. It's an informational tool, right?
Right, but
it all depends on who you follow.
Someday I'll have a different job, and one of my first orders of business will be to never go on Twitter again.
Oh, stop. Paul, come on.
I hate it.
You hate Twitter, please.
I hate Twitter.
He hates everything.
Because it is a lot of absolute nonsense.
It is, but it all depends on who you follow.
So is life.
I know, but I follow the people that I have to follow.
And you think they're nonsensical?
A lot of them are. There's a lot of Gino cheesesteak on there today from Sanchez. That was a lot of the stuff this morning that Andy was talking about. Why has he got to go to get a cheesesteak? And why do I need to know about it?
Because that's who he is.
Because that's Twitter. They have to tell you what's going on in your life all the time.
He would do that some way or other. He is a Southern Cal. You know, everybody needs to see me, the paparazzi business.
But you do find out stuff. I mean, as a professional, you need to be on it because you do find out about things.
Correct.
Right.
So did we thank Stephen
Colleen?
That's
why I look forward to someday. Was it Steve today?
I believe so.
Thank you, Steve.
Lunch.
Oh, Stephen Colleen.
Even John Rook got in on it.
Colleen, Texas.
What'd you get, John?
Very nice. Thank you for lunch.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
They do a good chicken parm.
Mine did taste all right today. That was good.
Yeah. Chicken Caesar wrap, not bad either. I tried that today.
Yep.
Gets the job done. Fred had his usual cheese pizza in the oven.
Small cheese. Haynes and one more email. Haynes in Houston, a little perspective. The Patriots are 0-1 this season in primetime games on the road. In some ways, this coming scenario with a hostile crowd at night is more similar to the Kansas City game than any other game so far. My question is this. Will the equipment manager pick the correct cleats for this game?
That was an issue in Kansas City.
Yeah, and did we ever... Like,
but I wouldn't...
Anyone ask anyone about what was going on in that game? Why people were slipping around?
I don't know if anybody asked about that.
I talked to Rob Ninkovich about it, but I can't say what he said.
Okay. I will say that, and I know that there was
And it wasn't that bad. It's just I don't want
to. There's probably a little tongue-in-cheek aspect to that, but it was a natural grass field as opposed to the field turf that you're going to be playing on. So,
yes, I think there was some tongue-in-cheek.
So we don't have to worry about it.
Nature to
that. We don't have to worry about it.
But there is...
No, I think it was a legit issue that night.
But there's also an aspect of an offense that's going to challenge you in similar ways. They have a running back in Bradshaw who's a key part of the passing game. They have tight ends that, you know, I don't know. Kelsey has become Gronk, and I don't know that Allen is Kelsey is Gronk, but he's a productive tight end. You know, they're going to challenge you in a variety of ways.
They split it with the two guys, too,
right.
Fleener and Allen. I think Allen's better.
I was kind of mocking the Kelsey is Gronk thing.
No, I know that because, you know, you don't think anybody.
There's one Gronk. He's unique. He's a Hall of Famer. There's never been anyone like him. There never will be anybody like him again.
John Rooks here for the playbook. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good,
John
friend.
Mackey,
I would also like
to
second my thanks to Steve from Colleen for lunch today, because I never really get included in this, so I'm very grateful today.
Okay.
You want some cheese with that wine?
You can tell that I'm wasting away over here.
I was going to say, you look like Ethiopian on Cartman.
Ethiopian?
Did you get to watch some football this weekend?
I did, Fred. I watched a little football, yes. My Longhorns won.
Okay.
Big win over West Virginia.
You're
West
a big
Virginia.
Saturday football
yes,
guy.
Yes, I'm a big Saturday football guy. Yeah.
Now, do you say, like, that's another Longhorn first down?
Like the emailer. Was it the emailer or the caller that said the college game? I was talking about the college game.
Is better.
Was it Melvin? I think Melvin was saying.
I think you could argue that the college game is becoming better.
Well, it's certainly the excitement each week with this playoff system has been off the charts.
It is.
Those people that had the argument for all those years about how it would ruin the regular season couldn't be more wrong.
I would say right now that interest is pretty much peaking.
Every game is like a do or die game.
The problem that you're finding out now, though, is that with the SEC being as strong as it is, there's some real conflict of interest issues going on with ESPN and their coverage of college football, because they have a monetary interest in the SEC doing well because of the SEC network. And so, as far as I'm concerned, ESPN's losing a tremendous amount of journalistic credibility, if they have any to begin with.
They don't.
Why? What are they doing?
Well, they're, clearly trying to drive the agenda toward the SEC, because everybody watches ESPN, and so they're of the opinion, a lot of other people are of the opinion, that because of their SEC-driven agenda, because of their business partnership, that it's creating more attention for the SEC, which maybe gives them more votes.
Guess who's
from
not
those
the
who
SEC?
Make the decision.
Texas.
Texas A&M is, though.
Can I ask you a question, a serious question Paul and I had?
Yeah.
And you won't be able to definitively answer this, but you have a longstanding history of college football knowledge.
Yes.
Have there been more top 10 games this year, two teams within the top 10, than is the norm? I feel like every week there's been multiple, 2 versus 3, 3 versus 9, 10 versus 7.
I think it probably seems like that because we've had a lot of movement in the top 10. So different teams are moving in and moving out.
That's my theory.
That's what I would think more than anything else, because I don't think there's really any more top 10 matchups. I think when the top 25 was sort of more of a static poll, and then there was no playoff and there was no BCS in the day when, you decided your national champion after all the major New Year's Day bowl games were over, you didn't see as much movement as you see now. Because there's
more teams in the top 10 over the course of a season.
That's number one. Number two, with realignment in college football and some of these conferences, you've seen some of these power teams sort of migrate toward each other.
Right.
That would have to play together. Each other. Therefore, you've got more top 10 games.
Right. Plus, we also added the fact, just the mere fact that the Mississippis aren't usually in the mix, they're in
there's
the mix.
There's been a lot of games.
That adds those
as far as the Mississippis are concerned, rising tide fills all boats in the SEC. I mean, you can make an argument.
I don't want you to push ESPN's agenda. Ignore the fact that the SEC is dominant.
They have been dominant.
It's not the Longhorn Network, God's sakes.
They have been.
Well, who owns the Longhorn Network?
That's also an ESPN property.
Oh, but that's not a conflict of interest.
The fact that they have five losses has nothing to do with why they're not in the playoffs.
I have never been an advocate for the Longhorn Network. I think it's silly. I think it's superfluous. There's a reason why, it's taken them this long to get on all the coverage channels, and DirecTV won't pick
ESPN
them up.
ESPN would steer people to
You're not going
to
watch Longhorn Women's Volleyball Weekly and some of the things that come on
those
channels?
If I had Longhorn Network on my DirecTV, I probably would if it were on, because, I'm always going up and down like, oh, there's nothing on. And anytime there's a live game on, at least there's something on.
Plus, they're hot chicks in those tight volleyball shorts.
That doesn't hurt.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. John Rook is up next with the playbook, and then it's fantasy time at 4 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.
Downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.